Alright, this is session 47. The Sea Dragon's Malediction. On last session, at Leolovan's request, the party headed to his father's workshop. Or his late father's workshop, I should say. There, the party discovered that it had been untouched for some weeks, as to be expected. Leolovan explained to the party that a reckless life of adventuring just wasn't his thing. He felt at home in this relatively safer workshop. This wasn't to say goodbye forever, though. He was willing to certainly provide the party with his area of expertise. This included his idea for a mechanical suit that would allow someone in the party to go toe-to-toe with the Demon Lord himself, options ranging from massive swords and great bows to stored spells. While the party was redistributing magical items, they discovered a quirk in the bag of hoarding. This bag turned out to be a portal to an old man's pantry on an island in the middle of the ocean. In the end, a somewhat uneasy peace agreement was made between Rudjek, the old man in the bag, and the party. At that point, the party split up, half recruiting sailors for the Zeppelin, and the other half focused on healing the city. Late that night, the party was approached by a figure who introduced herself as Nerali Berlar, apprentice to the sorceress Emphoria, and said that she, or her sorceress, Master, was interested in curing the curse of the sea dragon. That is where we left off. That night, you guys interested in doing anything? Yeah?
Have I received any correspondence?
I'm so sorry.
Okay, that's fine. There's nothing I would like to do. I just want you to know that I do this every night in-game.
Yeah. And I respond to you every night in-game.
Yeah. So we have like a book now.
Yeah.
A book of letters.
Yeah, love letters.
Yeah.
Maybe.
With a dragon?
With a dragon.
So, you know,
yeah.
At your earliest moments.
Yeah. At your earliest. To be fair, you're catching up on me in days, but I haven't responded. We went a while without you saying anything. It's just, I forget about it in between.
That's true.
Is it, so we're at the Curies.
Yeah.
And are we saying, like, they're kind of courtyard area?
I mean, I figured you would, it's decently, I mean, it is kind of getting to the colder part of the year, and you're trying to eke the last bits of nice weather out. I mean, you're kind of bundled in your hammock.
Yeah. I made that, yes. Okay. I made that successfully, right?
Canonically, you're in your hammock at the end of last session,
Right. Okay.
I don't know if you managed to sneak that past me or something, but, like, a hammock is not too hard to find.
Okay. Can I just find, like, an unobtrusive corner of the courtyard, and I'll take my brewing supplies out of the bag of there, the hole, just, like, set up in the corner, like, get over or something.
Okay, so you're gonna hide in math lab.
I will let them know, just to be like, there's nothing to me, it's just brewing some drinks.
Just
like
so you
that,
know,
so.
There's a meth lab in that corner.
Don't let Pagan touch it.
Don't burn open flames over there.
Yeah,
just,
okay.
Having refused to go near that part of town, I'm outside of the walls. I want to kind of scope out that area of the forest and just see if it seems normal.
Normal? Okay.
Tended to run into non-normal wilderness.
Yeah. Go ahead and roll a survival check, just to kind of get a general sense of the area.
14.
So, the area that you're in, and it's not heavily forested at this point, unless you want to push on forward. The area surrounding Neverwinter has some farms to the eastern side. And it seems, I mean, the people kind of seem normal. I mean, you certainly stayed on the edges of society most of your life, and the vibe you're getting, you know, like, people are not shutting their doors early, or, like, you know, there's still some life there, even as the sun has gone down.
No
nothing
of force frozen in time or vines trying to kill us.
yeah, nothing malevolent at this edge of the forest. And you are some 50 miles from the frozen forest.
Right.
To make it up to you, we'll just have a conversation with Nira.
No, that's okay.
No.
I don't
want to. Nira contacts you.
Oh, great.
No. Hello. How's your day been? Healing people and such. I mean, emotionally. I know, I pretty much know how your day went, but, like, how you doing?
Fine. Why do you ask?
Oh, no. No reason. I mean, just,
there
I gotta
a reason.
Keep you in tip-top shape, you know? I'm a fighter of this little adventure. Anyhow, had some news for you. Well, at least kind of wanted to just fill you in on what's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, I suppose I owe you a bit more of an explanation than I gave you last time. As I said, your husband was involved in a bit of secret activities. We I guess our mission's a bit too strong already. It didn't really go anywhere, but we sent a projection of him on let's say arcane wave things out to the citizens of Neverwinter. Well, I guess I should back up. We were a bit concerned about this disease which had cropped up, and we knew you were probably heading there due to the, you know, what you'd found at the hat place. And, well, we were a little worried. And so we put out these feelers, essentially, on these arcane wavelengths, on essentially a one-way message of your husband asking for those strong magic to try and do something. We never got any of his responses. Perhaps people weren't able to respond to us, of course. There just wasn't any. At least we didn't receive any affirmative responses. You know, the ones we did get were a bit, well, we can't figure it out at this time, sort of thing. But
about the healing.
The healing thing, yeah. Well, we were hoping that it would just be done before you got here. But I mean, as you can see, it is certainly a bit strange. I mean, obviously, if it were a normal disease, the city's cleric should have been able to take care of. So obviously, like, we think it has something to do with the hags. But it is certainly strange that your touch fixes it, and we don't know why.
You said that Killian was planting visions in people's heads.
Yeah, that one
me,
way.
The prophecy.
The one way message.
That I would heal the diseased people.
Yes.
So how did you know that I would be able to?
Oh, no. Did I say that? Pretend I never said that. I've gone into a circle.
Retcon.
Sorry.
So, what was it that he said? That he... I'm very confused.
So, your husband asked the city, or, like, those strong magic in the city in a dream, essentially kind of a wide broadcast radio-style dream,
to help.
And no positive responses, and they don't know why you are healing. You're capable of healing at this point.
So the prophecy's origin is unknown, other than the Tori's character saying it was her master.
No. And Nero will say, well, we do think this is, we do know this has spawned a couple of prophecies. And there was some, we, trying to think of what I said last session. This possibly spawned a few prophecies, but we had no affirmative responses, so we were a bit worried.
What was the name of the sorceress? Maybe?
Emboria.
Nira, do you know anything about Emboria? In the city?
Well, we certainly heard her name when Nerali came up and asked about her, but she, you know, wasn't anything special until then. We can certainly try and find out, but I mean,
apparently
if she's,
she was the source of the prophecy.
Interesting. I do believe there's a couple of versions of the prophecy floating about. So she might be a source of one. That is interesting that she's claiming sole ownership of that prophecy, though. Sole source-ship. Additionally, we are looking into the possibility of destroying that rod, that chasm down in the city. Yeah. Then again, well, we don't know a ton about that chasm, so that might be the worst place in existence to take it, so.
Yeah, I've heard that there's lots of big, bad, scary things down there.
There are some places that my magics cannot see, and so we...
What is wrong with
and
them?
I will need your eyes to,
Oliver,
to know more.
Anyways.
That's all.
Thank you for the update, Nero.
Sorry for the confusion.
No want to happen again.
The night passes. The next morning. Yes, sir. Kind of mid-morning. When there is a knock at the door.
What time does Colossian show up?
I don't come to the curie house at all.
The next day?
Yeah. The past few times that you've gone into that area of town, I've just told you I'm not going there. Ever since we talked, the people south were telling us about, like, different towers and
it's
stuff.
It's a pretty big district town.
Yeah, like that district type, just not going to the northeast corner town.
Well, let's see. So then we would have agreed on a place to meet, which would have been, were you going to the Scary Hole in the Ground?
No, we wanted to meet you there.
Yeah, that's right, Nerali. She wanted to meet us in the room. Where was she? Oh. Anyway.
There's a knock on the door.
Hello! Good morning.
What she said? She says eight.
Yeah. So a figure in. No, I was beginning a description. A figure in clothing not unlike those strange, you know, bird-like doctors steps out, and she removes the mask, and it standing there holding the, you know, essentially the mask of a bird doctor is Nerali. She pushes in, just kind of like not really waiting for an invitation. Pushes her way in, and she says, "Sorry about the disguise. My kind are not terribly welcome out in the broad daylight."
Oh, that's definitely understandable. Nerali, so today we are to meet with your person, master, mistress,
Emporia.
Well, our ranger will be joining us shortly, possibly.
Nerali didn't share with us any information the night before about where to be.
I mean, she said she'd come and get you, and here she is.
Yeah. He'll be joining us shortly.
Okay. She kind of awkwardly stands there for a little bit. Time passes. Lozio doesn't show up.
Well, we'll be on our way. I'm sure he'll find us somehow. He's pretty good at that kind of thing.
She sits backwards in her chair. You know, like with the backing of the chair.
Does she turn the chair around or just sit backwards on it?
No, no. The chair has been turned around.
She puts her back on the seat and her legs up in the
That seems in character.
Yeah, I guess lead the way.
We're not waiting for all the members of your party?
You know, wait, rewind. Would we know where to find you?
I went out town to the north.
That's true.
Where did we meet the previous morning? In town.
Then we actually had a place we were meeting.
It was the Curies. Or, sorry, the... You met at the Curies and then went to the workshop.
The workshop.
Yeah.
And yesterday you learned that bit of information.
Yeah.
We'll say we plan to meet him at the workshop. All right. I will go to the workshop.
Okay.
And then we should all go to the
sure.
workshop. We'll all go to the workshop.
We'll meet.
Yes.
Yes. Meet in there.
All right. We meet up. We're ready to be up.
All right. This time she discards the mask. Just puts a deep hood up and kind of walks, you know, in your guy's shadow. And she says, "The mask doesn't offer me perfect anonymity, as they always travel in threes for some reason. But it's better than nothing."
Yes, we noticed that. Is there any, Nerali, how much do you know about these doctors? Why do they always travel in threes? That sort of thing.
Let's find out.
Brian might know, but Malice probably
doesn't. I'm curious Brian's theory for it.
Let's roll an intelligence check.
Go for it.
Let's see how this goes. That's an 8. Plus nothing, I think. Yep, plus nothing.
Do you have any suggestion?
Well, there are these things called hags that are opting groups in 3 or...
Ooh, I didn't think about that. And they're always in the place where the diseases are.
Mm. But we've seen more than one group of 3.
Yeah.
There's like 20 covens in this town.
They serve a being, at least as far as I know, called the Tristan. which has kind of the base score of 3 in there, but other than that, I don't know anything about you.
Alright. There's really like crackers. Worship crackers.
To clarify, I did not say the Triscuits. The Tristage.
Tristage.
I wasn't sure if it's a being or an idea that they worship necessarily, but they do certainly stick in threes to a almost a zealous sort of way.
Well, I suppose we'll be able to corner and talk to them. I'm sure they would be someday. Anyway, probably for another time.
Perhaps. You guys go on and arrive at the Curie workshop.
What time is it?
Approaching noon, 11.
I'm over there.
Yeah, and Lee Elliman got up kind of early in the morning and has been bustling about, kind of retrofitting the place, dusting things off and preparing. He's kind of been talking about hiring some, just to get kind of an inventory, an initial amount of stock that he can get started with. Yeah, you guys all meet there, and Nerali kind of eyes the group, and unless you guys want to do something, she'll take you there. Okay, so the entire group heads towards, this is still within the Towers District, and she leads you towards a building that is kind of manor-sized, decent size, with a couple of spires sticking out across the top. The place looks somewhat abandoned, and she opens the door and heads on in. As you guys go into this kind of more, the place was designed for a lot more people to live in it, and say not all the lights are on whenever you head in. She heads towards more of kind of a kitchen area, which looks like it's seen some more traffic. And as she goes in, she kind of explains, well, it's really just her and me. We don't know who the previous family of this was, but we've been here a while, and it's a decently nice place. Moving through there, you guys head up this kind of spiral, a bit more of a creaky spiral staircase, kind of towards the top of one of these towers.
As we're on the way up, I'll just kind of play about.
Charlie, what is it that you do
with this? I run errands for the Enchantress, and she's taken care of me for quite some time.
Wow.
Nerali is on the younger side. When you ask why, she kind of gives you this a bit of a stare, and she goes, it's probably abandoned at birth. Oh, she says, I was abandoned at birth here.
What did you say before I asked why?
She said that the Enchantress had essentially raised her. And that she had been abandoned at birth.
Oh. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring up a sensitive subject. I was just wondering why she took you in.
Babies on doorsteps are kind of hard to get rid of.
That would be hard.
What race is she?
Yeah, she's a tiefling.
Or tiefling, if you're wrong.
If you're wrong. Yep.
I like that pronunciation better.
It just like something makes it. Oh, yeah.
Tiefling.
Tiefling.
Gifling.
She's a gif.
Gifling. Oh, wait, okay, then it gets back. You guys get up to the top of the tower. And it's not the complete top, but Nerali keeps kind of poking in, her head in a couple doorways, like, oh, no, she's not in here. And within each, you can see various enchantress-style things, like particular rooms hold more books, and particular rooms hold more more open books and laboratory-style equipment, other. When you finally find the Enchantress, she's a dark-haired woman, has these, and wears generally dark clothing. She turns around and greets all of you. She's a bit shorter than average, I would say. Around 5 foot, 5 foot three, and has this kind of bright look in her eye. She goes, greetings, all of you. Nerali, thank you for fetching them. Nerali kind of does a half bow and essentially steps out of the way of the conversation, just finds a niche in the wall, and sits back, watching the conversation.
So, my name is Sario. This is Lindel, Ballast, Velozeal, Shava, and Neris.
she likewise has introduced herself, and she goes, we should, Emporia.
Oh, right.
Yeah. She goes, we should get down to business. she looks directly at you, Ballast, and she says, I know why you cannot touch the weave. And
touch the what?
The weave. The weave, well, if you don't know what it is, then play that. And I know who your ancestors are. These answers are intertwined. But first, I need to learn about you. About all of you. Care for a game of cards? I play for keeps.
Bonus?
No, just go up there.
Oh.
Well, you know.
I'm always up for a new chance.
Yeah.
All right. She brings out some cards and deals them. Essentially, how this game is played mechanically is you will need a d4 and a d6.
My dice.
Oof.
I'm so sorry.
Oof, my dice.
What? When you say she's younger, are tieflings similar to human aging?
I believe so.
You said a d4 and a d6?
Yeah. Envoria is kind of a middle-aged woman. With decently young-looking skin, but you can tell that she might be using some sort of magic to sustain her appearance a bit, but not so much that she just looks like some perfected version.
Yeah. I'll lean over to Sari. I'll just kind of under that's the same. Those cards aren't magic at all.
Those cards aren't magic.
Go ahead and never mind. No, they are a normal set of cards. Does anyone have, proficiency in cards?
No.
I don't think so.
You can have proficiency
yeah.
in...
So,
no,
you're a sailor, not a soldier.
Charlatan.
Yeah, sometimes charlatans, sometimes sailors have that sort of thing.
I think I do.
Okay.
Nope. I think I just have navigator's tools and sailing.
Knots. Knots. She's kind of... swapping cards around in her hand, she goes, so, what sort of stakes do you want to play for? Kind of a more friendly game, or something you might find in a gambling den? Or better yet, full big city casino.
I'm not much for gambling,
I'll
sit this one out.
Ooh.
10 gold. All right. She goes, wow, that's bigger than I expected. That's full... Full big city casino.
To keep control of the situation.
So the buy-in is 8 gold. What you'll do is you will roll a d6 and a d4 in seat, each of you. I, the house, will roll a d6 publicly, and I will roll my d4 in secret. If you had proficiency, you could see the d4. And then... we will decide hit or miss. It's like blackjack, kind of. It is, if you go over 10, the objective is to get as close as you can to 10, but if you go over 10, you lose. All
right. This is a common game that, we might be familiar with, just growing up and sort of hosting, I think.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's nothing too strange.
Okay.
So we roll our two dice, add them together, and then choose whether or not to add...
You add this d6 and this d4.
Mine?
Did they roll?
So all four dice are being added together.
Okay.
You can then choose to add a d4 to the number that you have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the target number?
So the target is 10. Hit 10 or be the closest to it.
Okay.
All right. Going around clockwise. Would you like an additional d4?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead and...
and we...
Roll an additional d4. I guess we should...
And we, like, bluff that more?
You can't bluff necessarily, because it either is or it isn't.
Okay.
D4. Anybody else?
We all hit.
You can continue to hit until you think that it would be bad to do so.
And how does one win again the round?
10.
Okay.
But no more.
Oh,
closest
okay.
to 10.
Oh, okay.
And
including
the
hidden dice that we can't see.
Including the hidden dice. Yeah. So you are adding your two, this one you can see, and the one you cannot see.
No more than 10.
But no more than 10.
And Rory's a dealer. She's not playing.
She is essentially playing the house.
Okay.
So she's a dealer.
She's the dealer. Yeah.
So we're playing each other for each other's money.
She's the party.
She's making us play each other.
Yeah.
She wants to see us dance.
Kitty cat.
All right. A last round of betting.
Stay.
I'm good.
Stay.
Stay.
All right. Let's reveal our hands then.
I rolled 8.
Okay. And I have a 2.
I'm at 11.
I rolled 1, 1, 4 for a total of 7 plus 2 is 9.
Okay.
Nice.
So, Flozio wins.
You got it.
That means you get, let's see, you all bet 8 was the buy-in.
Yeah.
And then I get 5% of that.
Crazy little kitty funny.
All right. We should do a little Sharpie.
Put it up here.
Sayo, would you care to join us for this next bit? It's gone. It's straight up gone.
It's straight up rolling.
It's all right.
I bet it's an entrance. Don't gamble. Thank you. I'll just watch.
Just gamble, except with her knife.
She knows she's going to love it.
All right. Another round.
Yeah, let's go.
All right.
Jared's
anyone?
Poker face,
anyone?
Stay.
All right. We all stay. I rolled a 3 and a 4.
Yeah, I rolled a 6 total.
Jared was opposed
from
the beginning.
Dang it.
Did anyone say under 10?
I rolled 6 total, so.
Forgot about the other dice.
I'll
the poor guy.
Right.
Oops. Trying to reduce his weird quick
hot.
You can't move, you can't weird, right?
Cat will find a way.
Go way too deep.
Another?
Yeah, let's go one more time.
Okay.
Stay.
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 I rolled the same thing I did last time.
I rolled a 9.
Interesting.
Four rolled a 0. Let's go. Alright, I think I've had enough for one day.
Yeah, I think I might modify the rules in the future. Yeah. 10's a little low. I kind of trusted this worksheet. It was wrong. Okay, so if you played and never won, you owe 24 gold.
Oh, gosh. I won.
Dang it.
You won once, so you owe 16 gold.
Who do we owe this to? Just to...
The house.
Oh, she gets... Oh, dang it. Right.
I mean, you owe 24 to Felozio, but he played 3 times.
Uh-huh.
So his is actually... Oh, minus his own. I'm missing something.
Let's just call it even.
Yeah, no, it is even for Felozio. But you guys are 24.
Alright. Well, I keep enough of cards for one in the morning.
She smiles evilly and puts the cards back.
Wait, are any of them, like, marked or anything like that? I don't
know. Roll a perception check.
Four. Not good. No. Wait, I can reroll that one.
It doesn't seem to be. I mean, it seems kind of old. Not seen a ton of use. It's just one of those, you know, back of the shelf sort of items. She goes, this has been a great exercise. I suppose we should get started then, if you are all interested.
Why have you called us here? And what
did you miss? I guess you missed that. I tried to wait till you're kind of back in the room.
What's all this nonsense about the curse? How did I know if I was cursed?
But, it has come to my attention that, let's see, you are unable to do any magic.
This is true.
This is true. And from what I hear, not for lacking of trying.
Also true.
Oh. It is because, and my research shows, that there has been a curse placed upon your ancient family line.
That family line being...
the line in the Sea Dragon.
I've heard that name before. I don't know much about it.
Well, your necklace. Someone proves it.
Yep.
Yeah. And you hold it out. It's that signet. She says, well, all will be revealed in good time. A series of rituals must be performed to unlock this power within you, to reverse this curse that is upon you and your family line, and your descendants, if you have any. Not that I'm aware. Should you choose to have any, I should say.
He doesn't seem cursed.
Not all curses manifest themselves in burns and black marks.
He does make a lot of noise.
I don't think that's part of the curse.
Some would say it is.
Maybe your curse, the listener.
Enchantress, are you offering to lift this curse?
Indeed.
Well, I certainly wouldn't object to assuming no harm could be done by these rituals.
The rituals that we undergo will start off easier. A couple of them will be as of a dream. Going on, there will be some materials of rare variety that might be somewhat hazardous to acquire, but you can certainly stop at any time.
May I ask why you are helping us?
She smiles and says, of course.
Oh.
I'm asking anyways. What's in it for you?
I think your cause is a noble one. And if you are to be successful in all of your endeavors, the greater unlocking of a member of your party's power is, I imagine, quite desirable.
What do you know of our cause?
I know some about your cause. Word has spread a bit of what you intend on doing, coming through and cleaning the land of all sorts of diseases and foul things.
She, on that statement she made before the one about her, the reason she wants to help us, she shifty at all?
Or all on that side?
But I get to reroll it. Oh, that's two natural ones I've already rolled.
Oh,
rolled already.
Ah,
nice. Nine. Wow, I rolled above a five.
Yeah, nine total.
I mean, she doesn't have an obvious odd motive. I mean, she lives in a strange tower by herself and goes by the Enchantress. And those sorts of people are sometimes capricious. You've heard stories of odd magical beings or magically inclined beings.
What race is she?
Human. Kind of 40s.
Some people are just nice.
I doubt that's the case here. Very suspicious.
You can stop at any time.
Wait, are we talking to the Enchantress?
Is there any...
So, are we talking to the Enchantress right now?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought we were still hanging out with the Tiefling. Gotcha.
No, the Tiefling has taken a back seat.
Gotcha.
You played cards with the Enchantress.
Okay.
So, you spread around town a prophecy about powers that I have that I don't know that I have. Then you invite us in your home and offer to remove this curse that we didn't know existed, saying that it might cost us greatly. Why?
So, cost you greatly?
Yes. in materials and dangerous.
No, no. He asked if it was going to be dangerous, and she said a material might be dangerous to acquire, but generally says that like the early stages are pretty. She expects to be pretty easy, and even then, like the tough stuff won't be as difficult to acquire.
Enchantress, do you know how long this process would take?
No more than a couple of days, hopefully. We really should determine the strength of the curse earlier on. Some of these will be as a party, and some of them will be as bad as the limb. Sorry, what specific thing did you want?
I don't remember what I said. Sorry.
Monday.
Ballast, I suppose the final say is yours.
So. Seems like it's been a shot. Something I've wanted for a while.
Alright then. She says, follow me, and then heads to a completely empty room. It's just wood floor, no windows. It looks like this room itself has been completely, had the furniture removed. And she says, well, let's start off with the group test. I might ask you all to lie down, as it might be a bit painful if you decide to enter this and follow her. You probably wouldn't feel it during the dream.
Alistair flops down into the
floor. Okay.
Fall asleep.
Falls and sits.
Same.
Looking shiftly at the word open chantress.
Alright. She kind of begins preparations, and through the doorway appears Nerali, kind of with almost a suitcase, a basket with all sorts of pouches inside of it, full of items that she opens and offers to the Enchantress. And the Enchantress goes around placing these various items around the room and kind of lights one thing on fire and sprinkles another thing in a circle. And when she is done, this process takes 2 or 3 minutes. You kind of watch idly as she does so. Raleigh disappears back through the door, and the Enchantress clasps her hands together, and she says, all right, what you will see in there is something from your past, something from your present, something from your future. I am not creating these dreams. I am my ritual is the source of this energy, but the vision that you see here is powered, I'm just going to stand for a bit, powered mostly by, shall I say, the potential of things, threads of fate that wind and unwind. These are not... Do not take the things inside this to be prophecy, but do not discount them either. Are you ready to begin?
As we lead in, I'll try to do it so nobody can see, but I'll kind of like slip the immovable rod behind my belt, and then as I lay down, like click it.
So okay,
so
it's just
like stable to the floor. Right,
yeah.
I don't know if that matters.
You kind of wind it up in your shirt.
Yeah. Just kind of like click as I lay down.
Right. Super comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't I do this the last second? All right. She as she continues speaking, it kind of feels like her voice becomes farther and farther away, and each of you fade off into this sleep. And as you awake, each of you, you are the first thing you sense individually is the smell of burning, it's dark here, and the only light is lit by fire. As you appear to be on some sort of almost a ship deck, you stand, weapons drawn, in front of almost a captain's chair. There are dead goblins lying on the deck around you, and in front of you, with weapons out, paces a hobgoblin, a captain of sorts, and he's just waiting for the four of you. He's at a ready position. Near him, and in somewhat of a guarding position, is a panther-like creature, except stretching back from the shoulders of this panther-like creature are two tentacles, where with kind of these long cup-like features at the end of the tentacles that go half as long as this creature's tail. Should probably roll initiative.
And I missed it. They're like coming out from behind it?
No, no. Oh, no, sorry. Coming from the shoulders of this panther-like creature.
Okay.
So there's tentacles?
A tentacle for each shoulder, kind of just curving, kind of whip-like behind the shoulder.
Jeez.
What did you say the environment was like?
This is like the deck of a ship. It's dark about, there's... And it's kind of like in a dream. The sides of your vision don't matter as much. It's this.
So it's definitely a man-made place then.
It is. Yeah. You have kind of the. It is open air. But there's fire and smoke and darkness all about you.
Do I get advantage for being in a natural place?
In a natural place. I will say no at this particular part. You essentially, for all intents and purposes, you are on the deck of a ship.
Right.
All right. And your guys' initiative scores are
17.
2-0.
8.
And Shava is also 20.
Is this bitch a beast?
Let's see. There are no beasts. This appears to be a monstrosity. Yeah.
And so there's the hobgoblin.
Yes.
With the sword strong.
A single...
Sorry, that's you.
He has a single longsword and a shield.
Okay. What, we have our normal weapons, or...?
You have your standard set, as if you're level 9. This beast is incredibly quick, and you guys standing there, just kind of getting your bearings and getting ready, like, you feel your weapons in your hand, and this thing just lashes forward. For some reason, I thought this was a drink, and I was like, careful not to knock it over. Alright. It lashes forward with its two tentacles. And let's see. Lindel, against you, twice. 21, and that was caught. 15.
Both hit. Wait. Oh, the 15 doesn't.
Okay. And you will take. Turn off the lock rotation. You will take 13 points of bludgeoning damage.
Risk.
Plus 4 points of piercing damage. Alright. Feluzio, is you and Shava.
Alright, go for the monstrosity.
Go for it.
Shava bounds in first for a chomp. 20 to hit.
That does hit.
10 damage and strength save.
Okay. And it fails the strength save.
Hey.
However... it's... Go ahead and roll that attack again. You have disadvantage on this.
What?
Yes. What? It is difficult to hit this creature because it is almost not there as it seems.
Okay.
It seems to be playing with your eyes.
So it counteracts my advantage for being close to the attack.
Yes.
Okay, so normal roll. 16 hit.
16 still does hit.
Okay. Yes. Want to keep the damage or try the new damage roll, which is higher?
I mean, either. You said 10 points of damage.
10 points of damage. Does it still fail the strength save?
It does fail the strength save.
Cool! And so, Felosio also counteracts its disadvantages.
And it doesn't have disadvantage once you actually hit it.
Sweet!
So you...
So I have an advantage. Oh, it's an actual 20 for a total of 30 to hit. 13 damage.
Wow.
Whoa.
That level 9, though.
Unlocked.
And in response to that, Fashavalo attacks it again. And Shava rolls a natural 20 for a total 27 hit.
What's going on?
16 damage.
Wow, incredible.
Having a good dream.
Yeah, yeah.
And Felosio attacks it one more time, 15 hit.
Yeah, that does still hit.
10 more damage.
All right.
Damn.
How far apart are the beast and the goblin?
It was coiled in front of it, and can reach out the extra 10 feet. Felosiel and Shava step forward.
Okay.
Yeah. And then That's Flozio and Shaba. It's Ballast's turn.
Okay, so you said there's the Beastie Boy and the Hobgoblin, and were there other goblins also?
Dead.
Oh,
it is just the
two
of those combatants
I'll go
against
the
you. Okay, so you will have to go around the. Not that you'll incur any attack.
Oh, I guess if the beast is closer, I'll just go for him.
Okay.
Yeah, he's closer. So, disadvantage or not?
Not. It seems that whenever getting struck, this effect on this creature, that it kind of. It almost like shimmers and jets off. It is kind of like little flighting bits of itself make it somewhat difficult to perceive, especially in this darkness and the smoke, not seeing your eyes. But whenever it hit, that effect stabilized for a bit, and it is now beginning to start to twitch like it did before. You know, like that kind of visual perception, but it's taking a bit to recharge, essentially.
Okay, that's a natural 16.
Okay.
Total of 27. I guess I was gonna wave before that.
Okay.
So that's means I can't ignite the glaive yet. But that does 12 damage for the first hit.
Okay.
Swing it again. That's gonna be a total of 16 to hit.
Yes.
And then it's gonna be 15 damage.
Alright. So you come in and just with these broad strokes, come in and while it's distracted with Flozio and Shaba, give it a couple good cuts. Glindel.
I will bless my party members, so I had a D4 to your saving throws. And then I will burn a key point to take patient defense. I want to try to get in between the hobgoblin and the panther beast, and then I will take.
They're adjacent.
Oh, they're adjacent to each other. Okay, I'll just get equidistant from them. It's like within melee of them, and I'll take.
Of both of them. Okay. So yeah, this beast is a large beast. I mean, it's like normal panther size. It's slightly larger than Shaba, but with these tendrils coming out behind it, those are occupying a large space.
All right.
Sorry.
I would like to cast Hex on the beastie. How far away am I from them?
You guys were like 5 feet away, 5-10 feet away.
What? From both of them? Okay.
Well, 15-20 from the hobgoblin.
Okay, I would like to step back in my melee with the beast ring. Okay, I'll step back, cast Hex on the beast still. And Eldritch Blasted twice.
Okay.
Is Hex on you to give them disadvantage?
Yeah, ability checks. So, I'm missing something here. Yeah, I'm missing two things. Disadvantage on strength checks. And capacity of...
For clarification, for Shaw, this is... No, carry on. This is not strength save. That he has disadvantage on.
Mm-hmm. Will a 12 hit him?
No.
Okay, so that one misses. Oh, you're right. Will a 13 hit him?
Yes.
Oh!
Yes!
All right.
Ding! So then... Okay, and then the other one will definitely hit. So... 14 plus 13.
Is that...
37
plus 10,
47? 47
points
right?
of damage?
That can be right.
Please,
that can be right, though.
That can be right. However...
18.
That's terrifying.
22,
27,
37.
Okay. That's
points
still a lot of
damage. So sorry.
Just like full on Iron Man.
Yeah. So this guy, who rolled terribly, is going to come around and swing at Philosial, coming around. Well, I guess you're right next to him.
Did he enter my range?
No, I forgot that. He's just going to swing at Lindel.
At disadvantage.
Okay. You know that... The Monty Python Spanish Inquisition. I was like, three things. A week.
Yeah.
I was like, he has an attack. He has two attacks. Three multi attacks.
That's awesome.
Okay, so 19 for the first hit.
Hits.
12 for the next hit.
Miss, and I will burn a key point to in my reaction to cause him to hit the Displacer Beast.
Okay, and 17 for the third hit.
The last one hits.
Okay. He's super strengthy. Okay, so he is going to
Was it disadvantage?
It was with disadvantage.
Holy
yeah.
Cow. That's good.
He rolled all right on one of them, but yeah, he's pretty good.
Wait, was this the hobgoblin or the animal?
Hobgoblin. Yeah. So he does. Let's get this damage out of the way. 10 points of damage. Yes. And then...
Ouch!
The two are... And he's using his... I guess I should be adding in the future. His shield. You guys haven't attacked him yet. But he manages to hit you twice with his sword. And that is...
Oh, no. I was wrong.
20 points of slashing damage. With his sword,
oh,
between those two attacks,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy is means business.
Yep. And then the beast, and oh yes, he hits his own ally with one of those for 6 points of damage.
Right. I make a concentration check.
Very nice.
Does the beast seem like, what are you doing? Anything like that?
He just kind of like swings through it and hits it. It's not like mad at him. It's just, you know, kind of the chaos of battle sort of thing.
Yeah.
This beast is going to focus Shava this time and is going to make a couple attacks with its tentacles.
Act 17.
Natural 6 and a 1.
Yeah.
So that didn't happen.
Good dream.
But the displacement effect seems to have come back in full force.
All you have to do is roll natural
20s, it's
fine.
Yeah, yeah. It is Flozion and
Chomping's
turn.
Sweet. Well, here they come. They respond with chomping. It's not natural 20, it's 15, though.
Okay. Oh, it was prone. It got back up.
Yeah.
You with a ranged attack would have had disadvantage. You with a melee attack would have had advantage. Which we didn't do.
Man.
Yeah. It cancels out.
15 to hit?
15 hits?
Cool. 10 damage and a strength save.
Okay.
Good night.
Ah, that one's gone. Fails the strength save.
No!
Yeah. Little attack. Is it easy to spell smack now?
Yes. Yeah. If you rolled with straight roll the first time.
Okay. Yeah.
Could I trouble you to find that die on the ground?
22 to hit.
That does it.
9 damage.
I cannot see.
Shove a chomp again.
Oh, it's gone.
Fine. Natural 20!
17 damage. Oh.
Nice.
What is going on?
Advantage helps a lot.
Jeez.
Is that 17 damage from Shava and Felicio attacks again?
It's looking quite hurt.
26 to hit, 10 damage.
Yeah, it's
cool. Looking quite hurt.
Sorry, 6 damage. I used the wrong sword.
Rather than 16?
6 instead of 10 for that.
Oh, okay. Alright.
My next is a little more pointy.
Ballast.
Ignite Glaive, and then Natural 18.
Those are the hit, right? Not damage.
Yeah,
to
hit.
Yeah, I forgot the one.
And you do have advantage on this attack because the creature is prone.
Worse. that's pretty good. 10 plus 16, or plus 6 and 16. Then.
And with this, the creature is down.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Yeah!
Entirely good doing.
Got it.
Yep. and then you can take you can step forward and attack the hobgoblin if you want.
I'll do it.
Yeah, whenever you strike this down, this creature, well, he says in hobgoblin, so you don't know what he says. Or in goblin.
Sweet, I speak goblin.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, then he would say, "I said no," as this creature is struck down.
Oh, I was
that?
Where's Fran? I don't know how sentient it was.
Smack. Oh wait, not advantage. This one's lower. It's 24.
You can maneuver to where your ally is flanking him.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, in that case, 27.
That does it. So.
Alright. And that's pretty good. I guess we roll this one.
Yeah!
That's 19 damage.
Nice.
Cool.
Mine is dome.
I didn't
have
this either.
Oops.
Oh, for your.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I only bring it up if it might make a difference.
Lendl's turn, if that's it for Ballast.
Yep.
Ah,
that's all for me.
I will continue this flanking action and make some attacks on the top dog boy. Wow. 15?
That does not hit.
All right.
Not remotely.
Hopefully this goes a little bit better. Yeah. 24 to hit.
That does hit.
Okay. Right. So he'll take 6 points of damage. Yeah, that's like 6 points of damage. And then I'll do an unarmed strike on
Ooh.
Natural 20! Ha!
Ooh.
It's a crit! Oh, I get to roll two dice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh. 11 plus... he takes 14 points of damage for this.
Nice. You guys are...
right in the nose.
Open. Okay. Is that it for your turn?
Yep.
Sorry.
I'd like to transfer my hex to the Hobgoblin and attack it. So that's a 27 to hit.
Yep.
And a 32 to hit. Okay, so I can share. 33
points of damage. Very nice. And at this, this creature is going to attempt to take out Lindel with his triple attack. he doesn't have disadvantage, does he?
No, not this time. I didn't take
Oh, no. Where'd my other dice go?
It's so far under the
Is it really?
It really is. Like, I
need another
d20.
Okay. Ooh, Caitlin's dice. I rolled an infinity on that one.
Oh, no.
All right, let's see. Lowest was a 19. No,
ooh.
17.
Oh, yeah. They all hit.
Okay. Let's
going
see.
Down, guys. Oh, jeez.
That's a total of 23 points of slashing damage.
Oh, that's exactly how much you
need. Oh, nice.
To kill me. I already had 37 points of damage, so Lindo goes down.
Goes down. Close you.
Attack the hobgoblin! All
right.
The hobgoblin.
Shot a chomp. Let's roll.
Oh, and your blast goes away.
That's too bad, so I only roll a 20 to hit.
Okay.
11 damage and strike save.
The 20 does do it, and... Failed on strength.
Hey!
Good night.
Close your attacks.
Yeah. He's
tired. Okay.
25 to hit, 8 damage.
Yep.
Shava respond by attacking. Oh, 13 to hit.
Yep.
Close your attacks again.
Wait, was Shava's with advantage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 13 and 12. 29 to hit.
That does.
9 damage.
And that'll finish him off. So yeah, the two of you just jump in and just rainbows on this guy. You look about and this is, well, you've seen this shit before. Like, you guys own this shit now. And it is beginning to badly list to the left. And you guys kind of look around like, we need to, upon further inspection, we need to try and balance this thing out before it smashes, you know, like completely loses control and smashes into the ground. But as you guys begin to run to these different things, this section of the dream fades. And when you wake up again, Lindel is picking himself up off of this ground, this odd blue light kind of pervades the entire chamber. It's almost cave-like, this region that you're in. And, well, it's just kind of this nasty vibe to it. Up upon, not necessarily a dais, but there's no direct stairs to it, but almost a platform with kind of a 10-foot distance between... or 10 to 15 feet between it and the ground, this massive creature looks down at you. And as you look up at it, it just has this bizarre... It's this... Let's see. It's kind of red-like, and just incredibly muscular-looking, with these wicked sharp teeth. And this odd... Let's say... Odd laughter... kind of permeates the room, almost as if a cackling upon the wind.
So like a biped, quadruped, and like what kind of...
He is bipedal.
Okay.
And I will need to reset my...
Generally humanoid?
He is humanoid. He's just incredibly massive.
Ripped.
Do we wake up with the same amount of hit points?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you do. And so Lindel's picking himself off the ground. I need... I have so many words on this page, I've lost. Excuse me, Caitlin.
Jason.
It's 16 for me, Shava's up to.
16.
And as he, gestures, these little creatures start just coming out of the darkness. They are these strange yellow eyeball sort of thing. They carry with them like the most basic of weapons, like sharp sticks, but on them these spines kind of are growing off of them, almost thorn-like in nature. But they have kind of the general raggedy appearance of zombies, but they themselves are spiky. And you know, not in an undead sort of way, but have the same sort of skin texture that this other guy does, almost as if you can see directly the muscles. You know, all of their muscles are taut. They're kind of these bent creatures, and they scuttle along the ground, sometimes reaching down with two hands to kind of lope forward and move faster. Yeah, they're closing in on you. I suppose we should roll initiative on that as well.
Is this natural?
This is... Sure, I'll give you natural.
Ah, dang it. Oh, good. That means I got full 12.
Oh.
Eight.
It was almost 12. Now it's 2. Total 5.
All right. That's interesting. It doesn't clear your initiatives whenever I start over.
Oh.
I get used to.
I'll take the old one.
Yeah.
Flozo, what was yours?
12.
Okay. I entered 120, so you're good.
Yeah.
Lindell?
8.
Sariel?
18.
I had a really good initiative in
like.
I just said, so the way the spreadsheet works is every time I enter or change something, it automatically rerolls just because it runs the macro.
Yeah. Yeah.
So every time I've like rolled by accident, it just shows me what I would have rolled. I've rolled like 5 other nat 20s by accident. Like when just setting down my dice. So
this
far
is
today.
That's going on.
It's definitely still programmed correctly.
Sariel, you are the quickest to react to this new menace.
I'd like to bonus action transfer my hex to the big boy.
Okay. He's quite
do
large.
Do what I do best.
Quite large.
What are you doing?
She's
all of them?
Yeah, 2 blasts.
Oh,
so,
right.
She rolls her damage alongside.
I thought those were all D20s. What's going
I
on?
Will
I will.
Okay,
destroy.
So 19 and 22 to hit.
Okay.
So
those
8s and other 20s.
19 and 22 both hit.
Okay, great. Okay, Matt. 9 and... So 15 plus 7 is 22... 32 points of damage.
Very nice.
Okay.
Between force and...
Attacks. It might be necrotic.
Something.
That sounds familiar.
All right.
And I, yeah.
Out of the darkness, it seems like while you're in almost this natural terrain, this is almost an incomplete hall of some sort. Like he is on a carven stone sort of region, but it's as if this carven stone has not been made complete. And these columns along next to you. Are the same condition. They are mostly rough stone in some places, but the places that are complete are not the clean lines that you're accustomed to with human, or you know, the geometric that you might expect from dwarven, or the elegance that you might expect from elven sort of carvings. These are somewhat grotesque. They have almost a organic form in nature, but the decorum on them matches what is similar to the style of the creatures that are swarming in around you. And one of these lopes over, and just, you know, they're kind of coming from all directions in this hallway here. One of them leaps upon Sariel from behind, just attempting to take a bite out of her.
No!
That'll be a 12 to hit.
Nope.
All right. And as you feel it just come... hit you from behind, you do this kind of twist and just throw it off. They're not incredibly strong. For as much as they look almost muscle bound, like as if all their muscles are kind of straining against each other. They themselves, at least this particular small version of the creature, they're essentially a bunch of little golems. is kind of what they look like, with spines coming off of them.
Can I get you some ice, dude?
I'm good for now. Flozio.
Hello. I'm gonna chomp the big boy.
He is out of range. He's up. He's up on that 15 foot away pedestal. It's kind of 15 feet away by 15 feet high off the ground. It's not too far away, but you're kind of in the center of this cave.
It's rough terrain, and I wouldn't be able to, because that is 30 feet.
It is 30 feet, but half of that is climbing.
Oh, and it's half.
Yeah.
Ooh. I'll just attack.
You can take
the
stairs around.
Yeah, I'll attack the nearest buddy.
Okay, the one that just got shrugged off of
yeah.
Sariel's shoulders.
He did.
There are more rushing out of the darkness, but this was the most eager one.
That's a 1, but I have advantage, so it's a 25 to hit.
That hits it.
13 damage and a strength save.
Okay. It has a 12 against the strength save.
It fails. It's on the ground.
There is some next to the paper towels.
Yeah.
Filoso stabs it on the ground. Which is 24 to hit.
Yeah.
7 damage.
Very nice. It's just like twitching, like the last bit of life is in it. And it like reaches out, like flailing on the ground, reaching out for your ankle.
But it still lives?
It still lives.
So then Shava re-bites it. It's 23 to hit and 9 damage.
Okay, and so she gives it a bit of a shake and throws it to the side, and it almost spider-like curls up and rolls and then moves.
Are there
no
any
more
within reach?
There are some coming in, but not any like on you right now. Let's see.
Oh.
Let's see this. Let's say this one is. He's immediately after you.
Stabs that one. Closes. Just wheels around. Swings his other blade at
sure.
The next one in line. Which is 18 to hit.
That will hit.
11 damage.
Okay.
Wait, it's not an aberration by any chance.
It happens to be an aberration.
Wow.
You're in a room full of aberrations.
Then that is plus 4 damage to it.
Hot dog. You just about chopped this thing in half.
Well,
in one. All right.
Wait, you're taking the boy.
No, this
no,
one of the little ones that just, like, this one just, like, leaps up with this little scream. and it rebounds, and, yeah, it's gonna try and bite you. And I rolled a natural 3, so that won't happen. That's his turn.
Plus 13 to hit.
Plus 13 to hit. Actually,
it
is weird, and you're not sure if it is the odd focusing effect that, you know, being in this dream world has, but it seems like being near these creatures while have the same effect that, say, that odd beast did in the last section of the dream had on your eyes. These have a confounding effect on your mind in some ways. As they come nearer to you, things become a bit more, say, confusing in some ways. Yeah.
Is that a spell or an ability?
That's an ability. I was just double checking the wording on it. I won't bother with it. I have it memorized right now, so I will. If it comes up, I'll use it.
I have advantage on consideration.
Yeah. Lindell's turn.
All right. I'm gonna go ahead and. Oh, I thought I knew what I was gonna do. What? I'm going to reach out toward Philosial, and a golden aura appears around you, a shield of faith. You get a plus 2 to your AC. And then I'm going to
you
look...
You might still have a... So you break concentration on your old thing.
Well, I died, so it would have waved.
Oh, you're right.
Just,
you're right.
So I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to look up toward the big guy, and I'm going to cast Toll the Dead on him.
Send attack roller at
save. Save. DC 15. Wisdom.
You should have had disadvantage from that creature being... The first thing that attacked you, that brings that kind of confounding mental effect, would have made your attack on that guy ways away a little bit.
He attacked me after I attacked
him. Did I do that?
I did first.
Oh, you're right, you're right. So everything is still kosher. Lindell, he rolled a natural 19 on that.
He's
awesome. Yeah.
All right, and then I'm going to attempt to scamper up one of those pillars using the things at my disposal.
You can burn a key point, make it.
Okay, all right. I will... Oh, well, no, I already used my bonus action, so... Are they too far away?
They would be, because you don't have a climbing speed.
Okay, so I will just get to the base of one, then.
Okay.
Yeah, hang out there. But go back to it.
All right, and as you do so, this creature is coming to you anyhow. I mean, it's taking a step back, and it, like, leaps up in the air, just this impressive height, and comes down between you and the rest of your party. He is going to...
Is he within...
Yes. As you come down, you just plant your glaive in the ground, and this thing, right into it.
Or does he?
17 does hit.
Whew.
It's tough skin, but like this thing just carelessly ran right into your
blade. Job. Is that, am I still raging?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Dream rage.
Oh, that's a 2.
Well,
oh.
Let's, I don't know what's required. It doesn't matter. Let's just keep this moving.
So 15 plus 6 is 21 damage.
Okay.
That's really handy.
Yeah.
It's like that video of a kid going along the stairs on a skateboard and snaps and goes up between his legs. That's what this did.
Oh, you have disadvantage on that attack. I'm sorry.
Nope. So if you roll that, it's slightly worse. 15 instead.
15, that misses.
Oh.
Yeah, so these little creatures have a confounding effect, and you would miss that. Remind me, 16 points of damage?
It was 16.
Okay.
Or no, it was 21.
So that's not something we can, like, save from? It's just a bug?
It's just an effect. Yeah. These little guys are, like, little shields, essentially. Yeah, these things are foul. And your blade, the butt of it, like, slides off the ground, and it doesn't, like, it just has tough skin, and it's gonna reach down and just make this massive slam attack down at you. The first one misses. You depart from your glaive in an order to miss this thing, rolling on the ground, and you pop back up, and its second attack, oh no, separate. This needs to be a separate attack. This one's against Philosial.
Yeah.
And that will be a 16 to hit.
Ah, misses because
of
the thing.
And this one's Sariel.
No.
And that will be a...
would have been the big outro.
18 to hit.
Oh, yeah.
And then against Shava, that will be a... that'll be a 23 to hit.
Yeah, that is.
Okay. Let's see. All the songs that you like are from Destiny 1.
Really?
Yeah.
All the bad.
And, yeah. This is called the Death Singer Dirge. It's one of the raid creatures that you have to kill. It's the Death Singer. Let's see.
How much damage?
Okay, so the first person, let's start going around the table. I missed you, Ballast.
Yep.
I missed Philosial, but I hit Shava. And Shava will take 13 points of bludgeoning damage, and need to do a... Everybody that got hit needs to make a constitution saving throw. I hit Sariel as well. 4.
Oh, yeah.
Saves. And I hit Sariel for 12 points of bludgeoning damage. That's not
it,
at all.
Well, it was!
It wasn't flat.
Constitution save?
Yes.
18.
Okay. Sorry, dexterity save. A different thing is...
19.
You succeed on a dexterity save. Sorry, he has two things. One is multi-attack. One is reaping arms, which allowed him to hit all of you once.
Oh, that's crazy.
Wait, he's big enough. I could hit you too, Lindel. You ran 15, 20, yeah, 15 feet or so. But he landed between you and the party, which means that he can still hit you.
I got 40 feet to make it to where these pillars are, so I'm trying to get to the bottom of the pillars.
Yes, yeah, okay. The bottom of the pillars, but you wouldn't have been able to make it up all the way. You've been, like, hanging on the ledge. And that'll be a... This is so nice.
I like this.
That'll be a 22 to hit, and a dexterity saving throw in this reaping arms.
Let's see. 16.
16 fails. You are knocked prone. And additionally, you take 20 points of bludgeoning damage. That was a solid roll on my part. All right.
Get away, so
more of these little creatures. Did I not?
No. You didn't tell us how much.
Oh, sorry, sorry. Yeah, so Shava takes 11, and Sariel takes... 16.
I put my previous damage in as a negative, so I gain.
What type?
I believe it's bludgeoning damage. I can double check.
Okay.
Yes. All right. And then three more of these small, spiny creatures run out of the woodwork. Two of them jump on Ballast. And that'll be, a natural 20 and a natural 6. So one of them actually makes lands. Go ahead and make a wisdom saving throw against this creature.
Okay. That was almost natural. 11.
Okay, you save.
Oh, yes.
That'll be 6 points of piercing damage.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. I need to roll these again. That was a lot better. 14 total points of piercing damage.
All
right. I rolled maximum on the crit
half.
Yeah. And then the next one jumps at Philosial. Natural 3. Sorry, you are up.
Oh, yeah. So this big guy that's...
He's 10 feet away from you.
Right next to me. And I would have disadvantage. But I have disadvantage regardless, right?
From...
You
have disadvantage. Yes.
Okay, so I'll just hit him point blank.
Okay.
At disadvantage. Okay. Oh, that was a natural 20! So 16 to hit.
Okay. And that does?
It does hit?
Yes.
Sweet. So that one will be... 12 points of damage.
Very nice.
And then...
Hey, did you fail on your hex concentration check? Is that what...
Ooh, no, I didn't roll for that.
Okay.
So...
You should.
Oh, yeah, natural 14. That's it.
You have disadvantage on saving throws because of these small creatures.
Still fine.
Yeah.
So second attack, not as good. 12 to hit.
12 does not hit the big guy.
Okay. But I would like to use my bonus action, Maddening Hex.
Did you not do damage for the first one? Or did I not hear it?
It was 12.
Okay. Correct. That's because I typed in healing instead of damage. That's why his health was not lower.
As a bonus action, I would like to use Maddening Hex.
Okay.
And the creature that is hexed, in additionally, each hostile creature within 5 feet of him will take 5 points of psychic damage.
Very nice. We should line out what's going on here. If you guys could grab discs, because this is starting to get more complex than I.
I would move, but I'm a cat.
I would move, but I'm the DM.
That's fair. All right, so we can kind of line this out here. Okay, so big boy, is he one of these guys?
Sure.
Right.
Big fella.
Big fella, I like it. Where to put the little ones?
There,
where's
the yellow thing, babe, with the minis?
Oh,
right
it's there.
Behind the books. Yep.
And could you write on the little ones, T, and then 1 through 5? I guess not 1, because that one's dead.
2 through 5?
2 through 5. T 2 through 5. Oh, you put the cap on, not took it off. I was like, just putting it directly on the gouge.
I've got a pen.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, so Lindel, you are a far side of him, 10 feet away from him, slumped against the wall, from the big fella.
Okay, I'll put me here.
Yes, and that is the dais, essentially. Ballast is right in front of big fella. Sure, I was imagining the other side.
Oh, yeah.
No, sorry.
The other.
No, not that far. Back, this way. Right there, yeah. And then Philosial is next to Ballast, diagonally towards me, and Sariel is in the back corner, away from Ballast. No, right behind him. Yeah. And then Shaba is nearby.
And then here's the...
There's one behind Philosial, and that is T2. Sorry, T4. And then I just ran in with T5, 3, and 2, that group of three, two of which attacked Philosial, and one of which attacked Ballast?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's none of those little boys within 5 feet of him?
Of who?
Of the big guy.
Yeah, diagonally right next to Ballast.
Ah. So that one will take 5
T2.
Points of psychic damage.
Or T5. So yeah, it was T2 would be right.
T2.
Yeah, right next to, adjacent to both Ballast and the
big guy.
Yes. Okay. 5 feet within 5 feet of the big guy. Yeah.
So both of those will take 5 points of psychic damage.
Okay. You say both of those. Oh, both. The
big
main
guy.
Creature. Okay.
Nice.
In response to taking psychic damage, each creature within 10 feet
of this Hulk takes that damage instead.
What?
The Hulk takes none of the damage.
What? So they get double the damage, basically? He gets double the damage.
No, not double. You just... Ballas takes that. Philosial takes
much?
That. 10 points of psychic damage.
Oh.
Sorry, 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
The one time you guys deal psychic damage. I was like, we're never going to use this.
Yeah.
It's a psychic mirror ability.
Oh,
so the
crazy.
Three of them
you're
are going to take the damage.
Right back at you.
Damn it, Zariel. I hadn't been hurt yet.
I guess T2 would take some extra damage.
Bonus.
Did I sense that? Like, am I aware that the
sure,
pet,
yeah.
The
we all went,
okay,
don't do that again.
Yeah, this almost, like, ringing permeates your senses. Like, the psychic attack hits you. And you feel a rebound off of this creature. Its mind, the mind
Sorry.
Of self of this creature is just strange.
No, Sariel, like, she's never used that before, so she's like, I did it wrong!
Flozio, you and Shaba are up next. I'm being attacked by gnats.
What?
In real life.
Gnats?
There was a gnat right in front of my face.
I don't
My plants!
Shaba attacks T4.
Okay. He was weak already.
Good. 22 to hit, 12
yep.
damage.
You just, like, step your boot on him. Grind.
Scrunch. And, Filosa stabs T3.
Not cold enough.
25 to hit, 12
yes.
damage.
And 12 damage to T3. Very nice.
Shava chomps T3. 25 to hit, 13 damage.
He done.
Dude.
Yeah.
Running through.
Filosa Moonblade the big boy.
Okay. You have disadvantage against this.
Hooray.
It's only a 21 to hit.
Which does.
He's an aberration?
He is.
10 damage.
Very nice. Any of that psychic?
All slash. All slash.
Cool.
I'm doing that psychic.
Yep.
Have you guys ever accidentally pointed a microphone at a monitor before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's what I imagine psychic damage is. Like, just like,
good quality like, feedback.
Yeah.
Lindell.
Like,
is it my turn to make a death save?
Stage.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking like a computer.
I was scared.
Just like,
I think we're just CRTs.
Yeah, I succeed on that death saving throw.
Cool.
Like I knew I would.
Please don't die.
No, that's fine. I got this.
Let's see if his ability recharges real quick.
Would a microphone pick up some sort of distortion in the magnetic field if it was put next to a CRT?
Kitty, don't leave.
I think just
pick
up.
It
should.
Right?
I mean, a microphone works by in the opposite of a speaker, like
yeah,
a magnetic
the
coil.
Magnetic driver,
yeah.
Is a you know, coil, not a variable.
No.
And so the magnet and the CRT
hey.
Changing magnetic field should probably do something.
It's very okay.
I'm super interested.
I don't have any CRTs lying around.
I don't think anybody has any CRTs lying around.
My dad did until 2 weeks ago when I'm there another second.
Oh,
like four old monitors in our house.
That's funny.
I mean, that's awful timing. Like,
yeah.
CRTs don't need to exist anymore, but yeah. Okay, this is the big fellow's turn.
He drops dead.
Yeah, just like... this one is against Ballast. That is a... 22 to hit.
Yep.
I'll
yep.
hit you with the damage first. Make a con save.
Wait, the big boy's attacking me?
Big boy hits you.
I thought I would before him.
You go after him.
Oh.
You had your...
Oh, that's right.
As
I
he was coming
reaction.
At you. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Get it out.
Constitution. That's 23.
You succeed, but you take 9 points of bludgeoning damage. He's going to do it again, this time at Philosial, for his second slam. That's cocked between a 14 and a 6. This time a 15 is the natural roll, and that'll put him over 20 for the hit. So you will need to make a constitution saving throw for that.
10.
Fails, and a 14. So you are now stunned.
Dead?
Until the end of this creature's next turn.
Is it 14 damages?
It is 14 damages.
It's mine,
if I get damage, do I unstun?
No. While you are stunned, just so we are out there, you are incapacitated, no reactions. You cannot move, and you can only speak falteringly. You automatically fail strength and dexterity saves, although you have disadvantage on them anyhow by being next to the small creatures. And all attacks against you have advantage.
Don't approve.
Ballas.
Okay.
That flows in.
Now's your time.
I'm gonna hit him with a goading attack.
Okay.
So do I have disadvantage for attacking?
Yes, because you are within a certain range of these small creatures.
Alright. So that's... Oh, that's very good. That's 26.
Yeah.
That hit.
I'll do it.
So that'll do...
Mm-hmm.
10, 17, 23 damage, and he has to make a wisdom saving throw.
Hot dog. Fails.
So he has disadvantage on attacking anybody but me until the end of my next turn.
We should brush the rings out for disadvantage.
Busted.
Where's T5?
Right there.
He wants a chunk of Lozeal.
Oh, wait, I get another attack.
Oh, carry on.
Yeah.
Don't let me get in your way.
That's gone. So, that's a miss.
Okay.
I'm gonna take an action surge, so
yeah.
Two more attacks.
All right.
That's a miss. Okay. Big three. Oh, hey, that's not bad. 20.
20 does hit.
Yeah.
Oh, almost max. That's 21 damage.
Very nice. What do you finger guns at me for?
I thought that you would say how do you.
Oh no, no, he's chunky.
He's
bloody.
Fresh.
He's bloody, but he's chunky.
Fresh.
Plenty of blood to bleed.
All right, Flozeal, against you. Natural 18 or a natural 9. So that'll probably hit.
Oh, your shield of faith is gone.
Yeah. You will need to make a wisdom saving throw.
Eight.
Wisdom saving. You take 8 points of piercing damage, and now attack rolls against you have advantage until the start of this creature's next turn. So get him out right here.
I mean, doubly advantage because he's stunned. So.
Yeah. Well, you stop being stunned at the end of the big creature, and you stop in all having advantage against you at the beginning of T5's turn.
Mm.
T2 is going to bite Sariel. Or attempt to.
We're keeping in mind that Shava still gets to go whenever it's our turn.
Yes, Shava definitely does. She doesn't get to use her reaction for...
Right, she just attacks once.
Yeah, this is like super debilitating for your abilities.
Strike save someone.
This will be a 12 against your AC.
Step off.
All right. It is your turn. How do you respond?
By Eldritch Blast in that boy again. Big boy. At disadvantage still.
Yeah.
Okay, 12.
12 misses.
Okay, try again. Ooh, natural 20, dang it. 17.
17 does work. Did you roll a... Is that a 7 or a 2 over there?
That's a 7.
Oh, I was like... Who is this character?
13 points of damage. And as a bonus action, I'm going to give some D6s to this boy.
Hey! I don't have to die. Nice.
4 hit points.
Yeah, I'm up. I'm back, baby.
He's like, I don't have to die, but I was like, you can if you want. Alright, Philosial. Shava.
Bites T5 for being a dick. It's a natural 20.
Ooh.
17 damage, and if he's alive, strike 6.
Straight outright kills him.
Hey,
from Fresh.
Oh, yeah.
From Fresh.
That's awesome.
That is
my
some straight revenge right there.
Awesome.
Wait, can I get skipped over this?
You go before me.
You go right now after full of Shava.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
That is the end of Shava's doing.
Nice.
Or what?
I'm doing.
Alright, Lindel.
Yeah, it's all.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
I do not like being stunned, so I'm gonna, with my 4 whole hit points, step up to this guy and flank with Velocity. That cancel out disadvantage.
It does.
Okay, it sounds like you're
saying.
Yes. And I'm gonna go at him.
That's
what I was expecting.
Words.
Yeah, I was like, 20 total to hit.
Double.
Alright, he takes damage from me. 5 points of damage, and I'll go ahead and try to stunning strike him. So,
is that a psychic damage? Stunning strike him?
No.
Icon save?
I believe so. He's probably got a big con.
Yeah, but you can always roll poorly with a big con.
Yeah.
Will a 14 save him?
It will not! My DC is 15!
Whoa.
He's stunned!
Whoa.
Ah, I stunned him back!
He has a big con, too!
So basically, I punch his kneecap, and he's stunned.
Just this weird stun lock.
Alright.
Sweet.
It's more shock than anything else.
Yeah.
Just
the muscles just on the left side of his body just bind up.
Yeah. Alright, cool then. I'm gonna punch him again. Is that an advantage?
No, you still have disadvantage because of the confounding effect upon your mind.
Oh, yeah. Wait, how close do I have to be for them to confound me?
You felt it this entire time.
Okay.
Since they rushed in.
Alright, so...
Natural
20! I'm coming for this
How
guy.
You want to know?
Oh!
Roll really freaking well.
That's
kind of cocked. Oh, but it's just a 3, though. 8. So, 7, 15 points of damage for
nice.
And I should do something that is not planned.
Zoidberg.
No, I'll punch him again.
Okay.
Another unarmed strike. oh, shoot. That
will not.
Does not hit.
Will not.
And I'm going to try to do what I originally tried to do, like turn around and start climbing this thing, pillar.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, well, yeah, the dais. Yeah, you. How far did you walk on this turn to him?
Okay, so
you stood up as well.
But using only 5 feet of movement.
You're right. 5.
Okay,
10
so,
to get to him.
Okay,
15
so,
to get back.
Okay, wait. Okay, so
five.
I have 35, 30, 25.
You can make it.
25.
You can make it with your hands on the ledge there.
All right. All right. I'll be up there, and that'll end my turn.
All right. As you get there, you are out of the confounding effect. This creature is stunned for its turn. Ballas. You have advantage on attack rolls against it.
I do?
And, because it's stunned.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what I was wondering on my turn, because
okay.
I'd stunned him, so if I
wait, does that even sound then, right?
Sorry, I lied. Yes, you are still being confounded.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm going to try to stop being confounded.
Alright.
So I have disadvantage on a little guy.
No.
Because he's not stunned.
You have straight attacks against this little guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just disadvantage against the big guy for some reason.
18.
But the big guy's tough.
The big guy, you would have a straight roll because you have advantage and disadvantage. The little guy, you have a straight roll because his confounding effect does not protect himself.
Okay.
Or others like him.
That makes sense.
18 hits.
18 does. Is this T2?
Yes.
Yep.
Only one still left.
Oh, another one. So it's 11 damage.
That'll kill him?
Oh, yeah. Alright. So now I have advantage on
absolutely
for a second attack. That's 21 to hit.
That'll do it.
And it does 15 damage.
So close.
Nice.
Zariel.
Yes! So straight rolls
he
against
has 2
guy?
Points of damage left.
Oh.
Go for it. Yeah, yeah.
Get
straight
it.
Roll?
Yeah.
Okay. So one of them's a 15, the other one's a 24.
Very nice. As these blue crackling beams
roll damage.
engage this creature.
22.
Wow, you did 20 more than you needed to. you hear another kind of cackling along the sound, like that kind of fills this cavern. Some might say haggish silhouette starts to walk up the back of the dais. And you're kind of pulling yourself up to look, but everything kind of swirls and goes black, and you pull yourself up, and you are now in this wasteland, this battleground. You are on the side of this rock, and your party is, well, it kind of in this basin. This massive creature stands on a hill some 60 to 90 feet away from you. And corpses are just filling the entire area.
Like currently filling, like falling from the sky.
No, no,
they're just there.
No, no. They are around you. Some friends, some foe. Gnolls are filling this entire region. In between you and this massive creature is a river of lava. This creature, which is easily 6 times the weight of a regular gnoll, and you know, equally large in size, holds this massive mace aloft and slams the ground, and you can feel the ground shake from where you are. This is Yini.
Yeah, I was about to say.
What?
Is he an aberration?
He's a fiend.
What is going on?
I did not sign up for this! Wait.
You got told to do this.
No, she straight up volunteered and convinced people. All right, I'm gonna have to rearrange some things real quick.
Oh gosh, guys.
Oh, we're gonna die.
We're gonna die.
It's just a dream. It's just a dream.
Yeah, I was gonna say, were you like,
where you like start moving things with your mind?
Yeah. Just stab each other so we can wake up.
What if we just like, if we. Is this Inception rolls, or if you die, you wake up?
Yeah.
Or is it like, if you die in the dream? Oh boy. Perfect music.
Thank you. All right.
Let's see.
He looks down the valley and just points this massive mace at you. And
let's see.
Will summon ahead of him a similar looking, and as he moves it around, you see that it's not just, you know, kind of a simple mace and not like a ball and chain. It is this three-headed flail, and a spectral version of it appears, like a spiritual weapon style, that comes out in front of him, and he begins to move, like just clonking steps down the hill, towards this river of lava. Initiative time.
Abort.
Can we leave? Ah.
Okay, that's better. It's a natural type of ballast.
It is.
Good.
Ballast?
It's an 8.
Felosio.
19.
Glindel.
16.
Saria.
8 for me as well.
Shabba is 19. Got in a roll there for a second.
All right, Felizio, you, Shava, and Lindell are up first.
So how far away is he?
He is just kind of leisurely walking towards you. He was about 90 feet before. He's approaching 40. He's approaching 65-ish feet.
Then we run at our full non-dash speed straight towards him, and I loosen
arrow.
There
is a river of lava in between you and him.
Well, I go to the river of lava.
Okay.
And
as you approach it, it's beginning to just kind of sear your skin. Like, moving closer could cause you some damage.
I go as far as it starts hurting, and then I shoot it.
Yeah, you feel your skin tightening in response to the moisture being drawn from it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just these little fine fibers along your bow, just
mm-hmm.
as they are being cauterized due to the presence of the seed.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well,
I definitely missed, but I'm going to get a bonus action on this market.
Okay.
How far is he from the river of lava?
He is probably 20 feet away from it.
Shall we hold her action to bite anything dangerous that gets close?
Sure.
So I'm gonna run up to the edge of the river of lava.
Getting within 10 feet of it is just painful.
Okay. Okay. Alright, I'll do it. And can I reach him with something with a 30-foot range?
By standing to the edge of it?
I mean, from where I'm at right now.
From the edge of the river of lava?
Yeah. Alright, so I'll run up to it. And
roll a con save to not burst in flame.
Oh. That's a plus 2. Come on. 13?
Yes.
Okay.
He's barely saved from this.
All right.
D&D lava is a lot more tame than lava I do. I don't
homebrew
a ton, but
I mean,
figured I'd make it more realistic.
This makes sense.
You have to wear a suit in real life to get close to lava.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So.
Okay. So, from you guys' perspective, just this kind of, like, snake of water comes up from in front of me, because you guys are behind me, and from Unigu's perspective, it comes from behind me, but I'm going to cast Water Whip on him, so he has to make a dex save. DC 15 dex save.
All right.
He succeeds.
Oh, dang it. Okay, so he's going to take half of 3d10.
I'm going to look at my Unigu stat.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, just run into Yinigu's loving arms.
Well, I can sleep forever.
Then yeah.
16. So he'll take 8 points of damage and nothing cool happens.
Okay.
Whip of water just comes out and whoosh.
All right, ballast.
Yeah.
So how close to the lava to me?
From you to the lava?
Yeah.
You can't make it as far as Lindell did.
Mm-hmm. I'm also going to run away. As far as I can.
Oh, sorry. No, you have enough to make it about to the edge of the lava.
Okay.
You can make it abreast of Felosio, just kind of the edge of the
danger zone.
being 10 feet of when you get within 10 feet of lava, that's whenever I start.
Okay, I'll get up to that point before it starts hurting me.
Yep.
Just kind of get ready and ready to attack with feet.
Cool. And sorry?
Yeah, I will.
Don't
have you ignited your glaive yet?
It's been ignited.
Has it? Okay.
Well,
I don't remember.
It's done been lit.
Lit.
I will,
Time dilates when
Hex,
I start running out of it.
Hex Hinagu and Eldritch Blast.
But does Link contract?
For some.
14 to hit.
No.
27 to hit.
Just barely.
He's a god!
What?
Okay. There were a couple of points in between your
just barely.
It's like 0.5.
12.
12 points of
damage.
Of what sort of damage?
Points?
Force and necrotic.
Force and necrotic, yeah.
He doesn't resist any of those.
Okay.
Cool. Going out ahead of him is his flail, which crosses the river without issue. His magical projection of his flail. This thing comes across the river and it's gonna take a swing at Ballast.
Is it a flail snapflail?
It does not.
Not worth it.
It is not.
From what we know of special weapons, can you spank them back?
Can you knock them back?
Do they take any damage or can they be destroyed?
They are
no. Came within the range.
No, you can't deal damage to them. They don't go away at the concentration. Like, there's not concentration break on them. But they don't have attacks of opportunity against you. But as his bonus action, he's going to swing this flail at you. Comes down and just destroys the ground in front of you. Like, sprays mud and gore up at you. And then spins up and around and starts beginning to spin.
Is this the Valley of Death?
Yeah.
It is now.
The name of the song is The Place of All Fears, so.
Oh, jeez.
That was intentional. By me, like, 8 months ago, when I put it in this playlist. Oh. Let's see. Man, that didn't hit. That's disappointing.
Not for me. Not at all.
Let's see. He's going to move up. And he is incredibly quick for his size. He just kind of breaks out into this jog and at, they said he was 30 feet on the other side of the river. And the river is some distance from you. He is going to run up and just go through the river of lava and just, you know, splash this handful of lava away. And then bring, you know, with his other hand, bring forward this flail and just begin sweeping back and forth with it. Let's see.
Jeez.
First one against Lindell.
Even with my runaway?
He can make it to all three of you.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Where is he compared to me? Because I get a...
You,
swipe
if you made it all the way to the river's edge, you couldn't have run back.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
But he runs... within range of each of you. He's, like, standing in the river right now, and he can still hit you some 15 feet away. So that will be a 31 to hit you.
That hits. That's almost
that's
like my AC.
A 29 to hit you.
Yep.
And Felozio, a 23 to hit you.
Just hits.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to do... I don't know what this dice looks like, because I never use it. D12s.
God, flail damage.
No, he's good at rolling D12s.
Right? I am. So that is...
I mean, I'm out.
20 points of fledgling damage to Lindell.
Just... Did you say like fledgling?
Flail-ginning damage.
Flagellating damage?
Yes.
So I don't suppose you need to make a wisdom saving throw.
No, okay.
And then... Lindell, or sorry, Ballast. Lindell's down. Ballast against you. That is 35 points of bludgeoning damage.
And I don't think I'm raging anymore because I didn't take damage last turn.
Let's say you're close enough to the lava fire to do so.
To
have taken the damage to keep your rage stoked.
Sure. So 35, so 17.
Yeah, so... And then against you, Felozial, he is going to... 24 points of bludgeoning damage. and then just belt out this roar.
He
reduced you to zero.
Shot?
He only multi attacked.
Yes,
I'm down with it.
Me to zero.
Oh, he already used his bonus action, so never mind.
Okay, that's fine. Cool,
Azul, you and Shava are up next.
I guess we
get closer.
Shava attacks.
Oh, you're getting in the lava?
Oh, he's in the lava still?
He's standing in the river of lava.
Fuck
he's
up,
pooling
dude.
Around his legs.
Wait,
he seems to be taking some minor damage from this.
Minor
damage.
We don't attack him. Shava holds her action to chomp him if he does get close, and Flozil just shoots him in.
I mean, it's going to be 2d6 damage, whatever happens. Like if you fail the con save, you'll take 2d6 damage from me next to the lava.
Yeah.
Okay.
So do that. We're staying outside of the burns me range because all I'm doing is shooting.
Sure.
24 to hit.
That hits.
6 damage, bitch!
6 piercing
go
damage.
Go down!
Guys.
You're gonna just like disappears in this
room. Alright, is that it for your turn?
I've accidentally set my number of arrows as -1. Hang on a second. Sorry. Yeah, that's all I'll do for today.
Lindel?
I will make it that safe. Well, if I take damage because I'm in the fire zone.
Yeah, your corpse is a little bit...
So I lose it, that's it.
You do lose one, but you do get to make one additionally. Like, you roll, still.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean,
gosh,
you already lost
hard.
One. Because of the damage.
From the fire.
And then I also roll?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I just automatically. Okay, this is gonna be good, No, it's a two.
Could have been worse.
That was almost... You died.
Could have
been...
It's
just a brain, though. So it's fine, right? Right?
Right? Yes,
no.
It's fine.
Handle the pressure!
No, don't laugh.
No, I'm sorry.
So sorry.
Hurtling from the sky, this crimson streak smashes into Yinigu.
What?
It's Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
No, this massive red dragon. Just
oh.
comes
oh.
and begins like just grappling with Yinigu.
Oh,
yes.
I suppose I could start rolling.
Yeah,
my radishes.
Come on, versus dragon. Oh my gosh! Holy cow, guys.
He doesn't miss a one of those.
Yes, he's on point.
Yeah, I rolled the lowest. I rolled was 14 out of those. Yeah, the dragon comes down and just starts grappling with the top of Yinigu. And wings like catch this lava that the two of them are now in. Like the dragon is completely unaffected by this, and in kind of doing so, a wingtip like swoops through the lava and sends spray of it just kind of everywhere. At the end of the red dragon's turn, Yinigu is going to use one of his legendary actions and is going to attempt to swat away this dragon.
Swat the dragon.
I don't know why. The dragon is going to try and make a strength save. Dragon fails. So this dragon just comes down from the sky, and with talons extended, begins to just grapple with Yinigu, and just a massive bite, like just taken out of the top of Yinigu's arm. And the two of them, you know, kind of start spinning for a second, and then, you know, while holding the dragon back with one clawed hand, spins up this flail and smashes it into the dragon, and the dragon... gets hit by this and smashes into the ground and slides for 15 to 20 feet.
Whoa. What? What the heck? Does it get up?
It's prone.
Oh, okay.
He's not dead.
Okay, I was like, what? He just one-shotted a dragon.
Bounce.
Oh,
you're the best.
I'm gonna scooch back a bit.
Oh, eyebrows.
What eyebrows?
Scoot back.
Okay.
Away from Demon Boy, and now I'm gonna take my javelin of lightning.
Okay.
And get it all zappy, and then chuck it.
All right.
So that's pretty good. What? So is that that's dexterity, right? So 22.
Okay.
To hit.
That will hit.
Okay.
And you hear a small.
Ow.
And I know I should. I should back up a little bit, just because I'm thinking through. No, we'll take care of this on the next turn, or at the end of your turn.
Okay.
So you're going to roll in damage for this.
DC 13 dex save.
Okay.
Disadvantage because it's lava.
Doesn't care.
He's a god.
Fails by one.
Oh! Dementors!
Okay, so that's 4d6. Plus regular gem damage, I think, right?
Yes, which is an additional d6.
So,
oh, jeez.
Thank you. Alright, so, let's see. 11, 14, 17, 20 damage.
Nice. This javelin just all right in the center of Yinyu's chest.
And music timing
spraying outwards, arcing across his chest, and it just pulls through it, and it's having less of an effect than you would hope. It is resistant to this lightning damage, but this javelin is just sticking straight out of the center of his chest. It looks like a toothpick in its chest, but it's just sending out these spider webs across the front of him. He doesn't have the fine motor skills required. And you said 24?
20 total. And you said half that. So
and it will be halved.
Even though it's magical.
Is that the end of your turn?
I screwed that. Yeah, that's the... I'll do second wind. Get some health back.
Okay.
That'll probably be it.
Not bad. Falling from the sky.
Another.
What? Is, you hear this... of these like metallic sounds, and then right next to you, Valis, lands this metal carapace in this 3-point landing, and it stands up, and there's no rider, like the back pops open. And
hop in there.
Yeah.
So legit.
Sorry, let's pan.
You
step in, you step in, and you hear Leolin's voice like, I'll guide you through this.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Leolin is.
Oh, natural 20! It's 16. Well, 16
hits? 16 plus, or total?
16.
No, 16 will not.
But the natural 20 will! Okay, so, 16.
Yeah.
So, math is very hard. 20. What's 16 plus 12? 80,
I just use this calculator.
28?
Yeah.
No. That's more.
16
plus 12
is
28. It's 28. Plus
5
is 33.
Nice. Can I get that divided into types? Because it matters on this point.
Does it?
Yeah.
But it didn't earlier.
Sorry.
Last time I hit him.
You do force. Sorry. For some reason, I'm thinking, I'm confusing Witch Bolt. And even though yours looks lightning-y, it's force.
It's force, yeah. So, what number did I say? 32?
Yes.
It's pretty crappy for a crit, not gonna lie.
Because we do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Bonus action to put some D6s in that void again. Hopefully it's more than 4 this time. Hey, it's exactly 4.
Alright,
so.
It's all I need.
And I keep freaking forgetting legendary actions. He'll get one at the end of your turn. Yeah.
Right.
And then it'll be his turn. So that is a lot of things.
I slowly start to crawl out of the crater.
He's going to... Let's see. Valis, you've moved back. Flozeal, did you end up... You moved back as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe this might not make as much sense. He's going to charge forward. Yinyu does. You get into this giant mech. Just as this thing just comes forward at you. And Yinyu runs past you. And straight at Sariel.
Do I get a reaction inside the mech?
You're still, like, getting inside, like, what is this? Fit your arms inside the suit. Yeah, he runs straight at you. And he is going to flail attack you. I'm going to need some. Uh, 25. 22, and 37.
Nope.
Okay. I'm just gonna... You take 52 points of... Oh, no, sorry, 52 plus...
Y'all. I'm dead.
You take 79 points of damage from these three.
That's more than the total max hit points I have. I'm down.
You're down. So yeah, you just sprinting past you. This creature runs up to Sariel, and she just disappears into this. Like just mud is being flung everywhere in these battlegrounds. Next up, Flozeal and Shava.
How far away are we from Sariel?
You are about 30 feet.
Okay, then I move to Sariel.
and apply 8 hit points to her.
Okay, so you just run forward and slide between the demon
yes.
and Lorik's legs. So going around it is
away.
Beyond
she's
your movement. Okay. Yeah, you slide under there and hit Sariel. That's it?
That is all.
Okay. And then Lindel.
Hammer reaches out of the crater and I bless the people who are up right now. So, yeah, just all three of you guys. Bless. And I crawl back down into the crater.
Okay. At this, Yinigu is going to attempt to bite the two of you for his legendary actions. Yeah, that'll hit. And
we try.
Natural 20 against.
Oh,
sorry.
Are you kidding?
Oh,
me?
Yeah.
I don't
have to roll, I don't think, against either of you.
Can you do less than 8? Is it possible for him to do less than 8?
It has a plus 9, so no.
So, yeah, I'm done.
Wow.
I have 17.
17. Okay. The odds are not in your favor. I will roll.
Let's do it.
Man, this bite is brutal.
Is Yinigu biting us?
Yes. Yeah, this is legendary action. He's making a bite attack.
So he's
against each of you.
On two legs, and he just like bends down to the ground. And
he's flexible. Yeah.
Since he legendary is attacking, is it still functionally my turn? Or no, Lindel win.
Is the end of Lindel's turn that he's doing this. Let's see.
I was about to hellish rebuke that man at fifth level.
Oh, that would have been so
cool.
He's
gonna get some numbers.
Yeah.
Henry's not here. Banished him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I could detect his magic. I'm a very powerful sorcerer.
He's magical.
There's something going on here.
Yeah, it's 28 points
oh.
of bludgeoning, or sorry, piercing damage.
Oh my gosh. It's so hot in here. Our air conditioner's
out. Yeah, I think it's broken. The power went out, and I think it stopped working. That being said, this dragon here is coming back for more,
yeah.
And is going to sure. He's going to let's see what he can do real quick.
It's not established that she can't. She doesn't have a good intelligence rule.
The dragon?
No, Shava tried to medicine.
Oh, Shava tried to medicine check. No, this massive dragon like comes through the air, and grabs Yinigu. Is going to attempt to grapple him and just launch him.
Yeah.
Is a dragon, like, on par in size?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dragons have a pretty big wingspan. It's that kind of...
Okay. I just am trying
probably
to grasp...
Like mass.
Sure, like,
mouth
think
big.
Of, like, Godzilla versus the other big one.
Mothra.
Yeah. Yeah, they're both huge, which is technically, like, 3. Sorry. Large. Gigantic? Is it large, gigantic? No, large, huge,
large,
gargantuan.
Huge, gargantuan chonker.
Yeah. Yeah, there is like a legendary chonker sort of level.
Yeah.
I colossal. And then like colossal plus or something. But
yeah.
those aren't
probably real good.
Yeah.
Chonker.
Oh, chonker
comes. Alright. Roll these two contested checks.
Come on.
He has disadvantage on strength checks.
See?
You are unconscious.
No, it doesn't.
One
time that would have been good.
Yeah, yeah. And the dragon is just not as strong as him. So he tries to grapple him and throw him away. But he can't. So he's just going to use his talons.
Exorcist, I'm breaking up with you. You're worthless.
Not a good time.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to do some damage. And it seems like Icefix's attacks are not doing, like, in the same thing that the javelin was doing, that it's just having a difficult time piercing through Yinigu's kind of armor, his hide. That being said, Yinigu's attacks are very effective against the dragons. Like, it doesn't go both ways.
Yinigu's ice type.
No. Yinigu's weapon attacks are magical, mechanically speaking, where the dragons are not.
Or also dragons.
Oh, okay. No, but then the
dragon. Oh, yeah, that's right.
At the end of... that's the end of the dragon's turn. Balasco.
I'm a robot.
Do I know what I'm doing in the robot?
You have a general your general sense. He's like, so what are you feeling right now?
What can this thing do? Is that a glaive?
There's a well, it's not a glaive, but the swords is as big as a glaive, and you notice like on the door, that opened up, just massive, like 8-inch wide blade pulled free from a sheath in the back of the thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Freaking cool.
Okay, so you just as you run up back to where this whole dream sequence started, and while it's distracted with the dragon up top, you swing at Yinagu's legs.
Go ahead.
Let's give you advantage because, you know, he's getting his eyes pecked out.
Plus a d4.
It is the first time ever that we have given advantage for flanking top and bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. You are technically a large creature now.
Oh, cool.
Just so you know.
17 plus whatever? Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, that'll hit.
What do I add usually?
Oh,
yeah, typically speaking.
Typical
in a mech.
Remind me what yours, like, what you would standard add.
I would, with a glaive, I'd add 8.
You'd add 8. Let's go with the 8 for now. Just, you know, I can give you the details on it later, but 25 hits. Go ahead and roll 2d12 as your base weapons damage.
Okay. Do I get to reroll this? Can I use my great weapon thing?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
This is
yeah.
indeed
a
great weapon.
Yeah, that's
pretty great.
That's
pretty great. 18 plus, do I just add my normal?
18 plus, yeah, let's just add your normal for now.
Okay, so that's plus, so 24.
24. But this is not a magical sword. Maybe
in the future, you guys learning this about Yinagu might change some things, improve things about the robot.
Yeah.
But for now, it's just, this is the base edition. This is the base edition of the robot. All right. All right, so eventually 12 points of damage to Yinagu.
Okay. So another attack.
Oh, yeah.
Do I still have advantage?
Yes.
That's 18 hit.
Total?
Yep.
No.
Still getting used to it, guys. Don't. Just.
Targeting systems aren't quite what they. quite what I wanted them to be. And at the end of your turn, the dragon transforms into this small gnome and lands on the ground and rushes over to Sariel's side. And he's gonna. With a legendary action, he's going to feed you a
radish.
Healing potion. A radish.
radish potion.
And I will roll this dank healing potion. Someone's going to have to help me count this.
Oh, is it still d4s, even if it's, like, greater?
Yeah, it's just
a stupid amount of great. Okay, you guys count that. I forget what I add.
Yeah, it's worse you think to that point.
Yeah, that's 10, pretty cool.
19, 22.
It's like a plus 12 or something.
Well, if this is the one I think it is, it's like a baseline. Like it stops doing the magic missile formula, which is 1d4 plus 1 times, you know.
22 on the dice.
All right, thank you for that.
If a creature goes down and they're blessed and they come back up, are they still blessed? If I didn't lose concentration?
Yeah, they're still blessed while they're down. Even. I needed to roll 2 more of these, so it's 25 is base, plus 20. You receive 45 points of healing as the supreme healing potion as Thrixus spares. 45,
you say?
45 points of healing. You are prone. But alive.
Nice.
And just like
Shut
your
up.
Arm just reattaches itself.
Just like back. That's funny.
Okay.
Your turn.
It's my turn?
Wait, I thought I went after Flozy.
Did I even go?
That was just the red dragon's turn, and then Balas, and then Sario. Like it's been a while.
So Balas went.
Well, Yinigu's gonna do a legendary action here. He's gonna spin and try and.
I'm gonna die again.
No, he's gonna try and hit the mech.
Hit the mech.
Make a strength saving throw, because he. Oh no, I need to hit with it.
Plus like a million.
Yeah.
18 to hit.
That hits my AC,
but it doesn't hit the mech's AC.
Yeah.
Yeah, he brings this, spins and just, and you, drop the sword for a second and just.
catch in front of the mail, or the flail, right. and it lifts your mech up off the ground for a second, except for this plate that ejects from the toe and, like, tethers you to the ground for a second, and you just... you hear Lealman's voice, they go, that was close. this contest of strength, as Inigo's trying to lift you up, and your mech just... like pulls itself back towards the ground,
nice.
And you feel
awesome.
This kind of movement back in the feet, and you throw the flail, you know, ball back at Yinigir. That was his legendary action and failed.
Your turn.
Okay. So how far away am I from Yinigir?
You are laying prone in front of him, 5 feet.
Great. I'd like to stand up. I'm gonna cast. Wait, no, I died. So yeah. Hex again.
Okay.
My second spell slot. And, Eldritch Blast him.
Okay.
Twice again. I tried and true.
You do have
disadvantage
because he's definitely
range,
within.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you're flanking.
So straight rolls?
Because, yeah.
Okay. Twenty? And a 24 to hit?
The 24 will hit.
The 20 does not?
Does not.
Boy, guys. Okay, so that's 14.
14 points of damage.
Plus a d4. Sorry. I forgot.
Of damage?
Oh, yeah, 20.
You're still blessed.
Yeah, so it would have been 23 to hit.
That does.
Hey!
Okay.
Get him.
So an extra 8 points.
Very nice.
Thanks.
Yeah.
At the end of your turn, your companion says, "All right, he's gonna hit me, and you're a Xerxes."
Okay.
He says, "Well, if this goes poorly, I'll be a dragon again." And he says, "Get ready to get on."
Oh.
And so Yinigu is going to make a series of flail attacks on his turn. So you're there too. You're like laying on the ground directly under. He doesn't even know you're there. So he's going to
be in death.
Yeah, yeah. Are you down?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Just chill.
Oh, yeah.
Still hasn't much turn.
I had to make the initial choice that the red dragon would save her, obviously.
Yeah.
But then I completely forgot from that point on that you were still down. This is going to be a 32 against your mech, and then follow up.
But does it?
Yeah, yeah. follow up 33. And he go ahead and make a wisdom save, and then he's going to. Yeah, he that's going to hit Isorixis.
19.
The 19 saves. You feel this wave of confusion just come over you as this like disorienting amount of damage hits you. You are going to take.
He just went back to the plug and was like, what?
Oh, and with the second attack, make a constitution saving throw.
Mm-hmm. Does that change into mech?
Yes. Let's just give you a baseline plus two for now.
Plus two?
Yeah.
Normally I get like a plus 8.
On top of your.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, that's 15.
That fails.
Oh.
You are actually paralyzed until the start of his next turn.
That stinks.
Yeah, in addition to that, you take 44 points of bludgeoning damage. Yeah.
So
you take half, the mech takes half.
Okay.
In this.
Interesting.
We might hammer that out. So half is 22.
44, so 22, and then still raging.
Yes, still raging. We'll have that again to you. He flips around, like, he hits you, and this kind of stuns you. Like, your mech locks up for a second, and he spins around and just smashes his flail into the little gnome that had been a dragon. Yeah, as it hits this gnome transforms back into a dragon and just rolls and gets up. Now its red scales are covered in this, you know, the filth that's on the ground, and it rolls up and then like puts one wing down and is going to I don't know if we can do that for legendary action.
Yeah.
He is going to then, as a dragon, reach forward and grab you, Flozio. and offer to you, Sariel, like kind of scoop you up, like both of you at the same time, and then is going to make a wing attack as he takes off. And this allows him to move in addition.
So he is handed full as heel to me?
No. You're in separate appendages as he moves forward and grabs the two of you and takes off with this wing attack. Let's see. You're going to fail a dexterity save.
Yep.
You're on the other side of it. Let's see. And so will Yinigu,
yeah.
Who takes some bludgeoning damage. And you will take 15 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
I did that right, didn't I? Yes, you take 15 points of bludgeoning damage, half, and then half again. That's really nice.
Yeah,
you just took 3 points of damage from a wing attack from an adult red dragon.
That's crazy.
4 damage.
Next up. And that was the end of Yinigu's turn, and the legendary action from the dragon. That will take it to Felizial's turn, who you will be making a save in the claws.
A d4.
A.
Death save.
16.
Very nice.
Success.
Oh, what's Shala doing?
She just saw Flozil get snackified, and she just saw red and sprinted straight at the Demon Lord. So she's going to bite his ankle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is she close to anyone nice? Neat. Hey. 23 to hit.
Hit.
Hey! 11 damage and a strength save.
He's already prone.
Oh.
From the wing attack, yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Neat. Let's just say Shava did that.
Sorry, how much
so.
Damage did you...
11 damage.
She was, like, pulling him down from behind. She doesn't do magical damage. She just has that silver...
Negates resistance to non-magical thing. Or what? Yeah, she just got silver pointies.
Yeah, okay. So that will be halved. Because he's not a wraith or something.
I know.
Yes. Also, don't forget about your magical item. Your new one. Just because
that
could happen.
I have to be attuned and also awake.
Assume that you are attuned to it.
No, because I can't be, because I'm already attuned to other things.
Oh.
Yeah.
And also, I'm not awake.
That's, yeah. And at the end of Shava's turn, let's see. The dragon can't really do anything, but Yinigu can. And he is going to... I keep forgetting about the spiritual weapon. There's so much on the board. I know.
Yeah.
That
theater mind board.
The spiritual weapon is going to attack you. Nundle.
Oh no!
I'm
going down.
Oh.
What? I haven't been doing anything over here!
That's a natural. Let's see. That actually might hit.
Natural one might hit.
No, natural one can't. But that'll be a 19.
Yeah.
Wait. I forget. That uses your. Spiritual weapon uses your wisdom modifier, right?
Correct.
Okay, so that's gonna be different.
Or whatever spellcasting does.
What number did I say?
19.
How about 17? Still hits. Okay. What is this song doing in the playlist?
Slow motion flail, kind of the percussion of life of me.
This is from Yinigu's perspective.
Yeah.
Singing in the rain. 16 points of
and I'm back down.
Well, 14 points of force damage. And then, as his legendary action, he's going to try and swat away Shava.
Wait, that wasn't his legendary action?
That was his bonus action from last time.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
That's
okay. He's going to attempt to swat away Shava.
I have 4 hit points. They're probably going to save me from
That is going to be a 20 against her AC. And she'll need to make a DC 24 strength saving throw.
Well, it's impossible to pass by rolling anyway. 14.
Now, she is pushed 15 feet straight line back, and she is prone. In addition to taking 22 bludgeoning damage.
Alive.
All right, Red Dragon time. He's gonna find a nice firing solution, get kind of level with this thing, as he's winging around. And is going to release a flaming cone out his maw and veer off before before Yinigu can take another swipe at him. Yinigu's going to take an extreme amount of damage.
From fire!
And Yinigu is looking a little bit. I mean, he's feeling it. He's feeling it. I think he's bloodied at this point. Yeah. And that's it for the dragon's turn. The dragon is going to use the remaining of his just incredible speed to move some distance away and land and set Flozeal down and kind of gesture to him at you. Ballast, it is your turn.
Am I no longer stunned?
You are stunned until... Seriously, what playlist are we on?
Check my monocle.
Totems of the Crystal Monocle. Oh, we have just fallen off the playlist. That's why. Paralyzed until the start of Yinigu's next turn. Okay, so you're out of this one. Yep. And then Sariel.
Okay, so...
Hmm?
Six is...
Oh, I might have...
I mean, all I gotta do is make a death save, but...
No, yeah, he hit you at the end of Shava's turn.
Yeah, so it would still be in the order.
No, okay, sorry. I shouldn't have taken your turn away from you like that just because I forgot. Let's say that was at the end of your turn. What did you do?
Oh, okay, I was gonna... Was I in... Before the dragon flew away, was I in 30 feet, within 30 feet?
He did that wing attack and took off the other direction, because you're between the lava river and Yinigu.
Yeah.
Sariel was on the other side of that, and then he did the wing attack and took off.
And flew away, okay,
yeah,
so he's gone.
So he's effectively gone.
Then, am I within 30 feet of us?
You are.
Okay. I'm going to send 10 points of healing your way. That's all I can do. And then that's my action. And then I would have taken patience defense as my bonus action.
Okay.
Or
you can just run the heck out of there.
Okay, I'll do that too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's say that the thing didn't hit you then.
Okay.
It's just chasing you, comedically.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Okay, that was Bella's turn. Sorry.
Okay, so he strikes us like...
Landed some 60 feet away, placed Felozio there on the ground, within, you know, line of sight of you.
Okay. Cool. I'm going to Eldritch Blast Boyo.
Eldritch Blast.
He's not so prone, is he?
I guess he is.
He had a turn, so he stood up.
He had legendary action. Yeah, he stood up.
Okay. Okay, so the first is 20 to hit, which misses, right?
Yes.
Okay, and 26 to hit.
That does.
Okay, and that one is 13 points of damage.
Very nice.
You know, bonus action, I'm going to heal from Lozeal. Ooh, 7.
Yeah, that's more than 0.
It is.
All right. I don't love using a legendary action right...
After
legendary action right after the turn, right before his turn. You know, because that gives him, like,
action.
A bunch.
Yeah.
I mean, you did already say, like, after Sariel, he's going to use a legendary action.
He did. I mean, he has loads of...
And he's a god.
Loads of legendary
he's
actions.
A
he is.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Who's near him? Ballast, you're available. There and available. Yeah, he just blasted the wolf away. And is going to try and bite you. Or your cage. That's cocked between an 8 and a natural 20.
Oh. What did it land on?
A 2. That'll miss. That'll miss you in your cage. And so he just, like, bends down and just, like, grabs onto the... And his teeth are huge. Like, just on the front of this entire cage, he's biting and, like, just trying to get into the juicy center. And then he pulls back and is going to attempt to... He is going to turn invisible.
Oh,
you do this? Heck, boy.
All right.
Please tell me his, like, comically large footprints are, like...
Yes.
Can we still hear? Like, we can probably hear.
I can smell.
You can sense him of sorts. But you definitely can't see him.
Awesome, though.
Flozeal, what are you doing?
I use my action to hide in my shirt.
Okay.
25 stealth.
Okay.
And Shava wants to perceive him with her nose.
Okay. Attempt to do so.
Measure one. Twice.
Oh, no. There's a lot going on in this battlefield. Like, as far as smells go, not the best. Not the best smelling place.
He's just gonna bite the last place she saw.
Okay. Also, with a natural one, she just doesn't have a chance. Like, I would normally have you roll with
right.
disadvantage. But yeah, she doesn't have a chance on that.
Then she's just gonna go and sit by Flozeal.
Okay, Flozeal is like 60 feet away now. Like,
oh.
she got swatted and like
running,
she can make it to you.
Okay. Do you want me to have used my action to attempt to bite, or is she just
no,
totally
no,
lost? I'm just gonna dash back.
But he has moved to be within opportunity attack range of her, so he's gonna swing at her as she goes.
Okay.
Man. 20.
Oh.
20 to hit. And that'll be with a flail.
Is it more than 8?
Yes.
She died.
Okay, so just as Shava begins to sprint towards you. Go for it. Is that what are you doing on your turn? Because you can bonus action hide.
Oh right.
You're some 60 feet away next to a dragon.
I'm gonna move at full speed, normal speed, not dashing, staying stealth in the direction of Sonic.
Okay. Sticking low to as you move down this hillside, kind of bow drawn and ready. At the end of its turn, Yinigu is going to, as a legendary action, is going to hit Lindel.
disadvantage?
Why?
I took dodge at the end of my turn.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, you're running.
I did run.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
He wouldn't...
Wouldn't chase me.
No, he's going to use his legendary action to chase you, and he is faster than you are. So he just catches right up to you.
Yeah.
And it is your turn.
My turn?
Yeah, he uses his legendary action to chase you.
All right. I'm going to turn. Can I see where he's at?
Absolutely.
All right.
He is not invisible anymore.
He's not? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to run up to his giant foot, a leap in the air, immovable rod.
He catches up to you as
really?
He's just sprinting along. Like,
oh, jeez. Okay, so he's right behind.
And so you
okay.
jump up, click the immovable rod as you go, and just, he slams into it.
That's really what I'm gonna
make a con save real quick.
I think immovable rod does have a DC for it to be moved or something like
it's,
that. But...
It's a massive strength.
Okay.
That's what I should do.
Disadvantage on strength checks.
You went down.
Shit.
I recast
it. Again.
It.
Okay.
I specifically said.
Okay. I mean, yeah, he fails. So he's going to take
stop.
A massive amount of foot damage. And so you are like, you clicked it and like started climbing, and you hear this, and this whole form just begins to fall. What are you doing?
Well, what I was going for is I wanted to find the top of his foot. Put it down and then click it. So
yeah,
he's stuck under it, maybe.
Yeah, he's beginning to fall under the effect of this. But yeah, he just slammed right into it.
Oh, man.
Go ahead and roll 2d12 damage.
Oh, sweet! from like a ways away, does it look like I just like punched his foot?
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Jeez. Is that plus anything?
No.
20. All right, 20 points of immovable rod damage.
Oh, jeez.
All right.
I hope he let go of it before his foot contacted it.
Oh, yeah.
His knuckles.
Oh, yeah.
Done. Literally.
Hand off.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, that was amazing. I can't believe that. Okay, then I'm
that was your movement? No.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, it pretty much was.
Yeah, okay. So that's my action. I am going to get the heck out of here.
You're not going to climb him? God of War style?
Oh, wow. You know what? Oh, man. We're in it now. There's no round of
there was that thing I sent to you guys about, like, trying to get a creature off of you. Like,
oh,
he has
yeah.
to make a contest.
Yeah, okay.
No, it could be a terrible idea. And you
yeah.
could be thrown about 30 feet
yeah, we'll
into
see.
The dirt.
You know, we're in this. There's no way I'm going to get away from him. So, yeah, I'm going to try to climb him.
Yeah, he can chase you down, essentially,
okay. yeah.
effortlessly.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm going to try to climb him.
Yeah, go ahead and roll a check.
Okay.
With advantage because he just smashed into the ground.
Okay, what is this strength?
Dexterity.
Okay.
Athletic. Acrobatics. Yeah.
Acrobatics. Ah. Ooh, good thing it's advantage.
You can reroll that one.
Oh, I can. Shoot. About that. All right. Wow, sounds good. Okay, so that'll be 26.
Declare. Nice.
You can go.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, gosh. And then I'm gonna... what can I do to give myself... I guess I'll just take the dodge, actually. That's my bonus action. Using my...
You need another rock, like,
oh yeah,
another rock.
Another just like, that would be so cool. Yeah, I don't think I have anything that's like, wait a minute. Oh gosh, this fight got me flustered, guys. Do it. All right, I can't find anything. Yeah, so I'm just gonna do another patient defense.
Okay.
Off of the UV. Or trying to like snuggle against him, you know. So I'm like,
sure,
nice,
sure.
Low profile, I guess.
As a legendary action, he will of course attempt to get rid of you.
Yep.
Roll a contested. What is he gonna do?
Does dodge give me anything for that?
Yeah, roll with advantage.
Okay.
Just because he's like he's trying to reach his back with this.
18.
Not enough.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, he knocked you off.
Yeah. Probably did. Or unconscious.
No, he just swept you away with his hand, like removing you from his back.
Oh, okay.
He didn't actually do any damage to you this time.
Oh.
Ballast. Sorry, it's the dragon's turn. And he says. What is the plan?
Kill you.
They yell from the ground. I've got a thing.
I don't have one. Just fight.
Okay, so he takes off just this quick launch, and he takes off again. Let's see if his fire breath recharges. It does not.
Oh, dang it.
But he will instead make a series of attacks. Okay, that's gone.
11.
And they all hit.
Ooh.
Oh, that's all with advantage, or is he not fallen yet? He's in the process of falling.
None of those are great. Let's see. He is going to also use his frightful presence. So this is Yinigu's saving throw.
Yeah, the Yinigu.
He fails. But he's going to use a legendary resistance to try and save it, or save against it. Yeah, this dragon is now on top of this prone hole. Just these massive cuts being shot, you know, down into the earth at this demon lord. Let me get some damage numbers on that. All right, and that is the end of the dragon's turn. Yinigu is going to.
By the way, use the hole against
him. Yinigu is going to, at this point, stand, or at least attempt to. That's going
to
be a contested strength check.
Yeah, it turns out to be good. Yeah.
Well, I didn't need disadvantage because I rolled natural one. He is still underneath the dragon.
Oh yeah.
Ballast.
All right.
You're
so
prone.
I'm prone.
You are. Okay, so something as far as movement, mech movement goes, your movement is, let's see, your movement is 15, but you can use your bonus action to dash.
Okay.
So what that means is you kind of have to focus on, like, you use your bonus action to move, like,
oh.
Yeah, yeah.
To press the boost button.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, can I get to him?
You can. Well, so you stand up. Yeah, he actually took off running. If you use your action, you can make it to them. But he had to chase down Linda.
Actually,
yeah,
bonus action.
Yes.
Okay, then I know.
Okay.
What else does this thing have?
He goes, there's a great bow.
A what?
And like this, like sticks out the back. You might not want to use your action then. Like
what?
A great bow.
Oh, a great bow.
Like this thing springs out the side of the arm.
So cool.
In
that case, I'll use the bonus action to get further. And now,
sure. Yeah, you like shake your arm out, and this like massive crossbow style contraption just swings forward off the arm,
nice.
and he's like, "Yeah, just point you."
Yes, sir.
All right. That's a, I guess it's a ranged attack roll, just like you would with a crossbow.
Disadvantage because he's prone.
He is, yeah.
That's not bad. So that's plus. Are you doing plus 8, the normal, or was it plus 2?
It's a dexterity thing.
Dexterity. Oh, so in that case, that's going to be plus 3, plus 4, 17?
Yeah, this bolt fires forward and like strikes Yinigu and just, just bounces off of its armor.
Sorry, I'll...
Pew pew.
Yeah.
Nobody's down, right?
Shava.
No.
Shava is?
Yeah, Shava's sitting in a crater.
Both disappeared.
Okay, so the first attack is 19, which will miss. Second one is 31.
Let me try and stand real quick at the end of, that was a natural 20. Yeah. So, that will finally beat, and rather than going around the, like the immovable rod is now hovering some 10 feet in the air, five to 10 feet in the air, because rather than, like, going through the immovable rod, his claw just dug out the earth, and he rolled and threw the dragon to the side, and stood up, and began to spin around to attack the dragon.
You made a
pill silly.
Go for it. And then 19 points or 18 points of damage to Yenugi.
Total?
Yeah.
You don't have disadvantage anymore because he is standing.
I know.
Okay.
I missed with one.
Okay. Is that it for your turn?
I will give Shava 2.
She's 60 feet away from you?
Is she?
Yeah, she is. Is that the range?
60 feet is
okay.
The range.
She is a lift. Yay.
All right, at the end of your turn, he's going to use his swat away legendary action and try and swat the dragon. But his flail, like, he rings back with it and spins, and it gets caught in the on the immovable rod. And, like, like, you hear this almost rending of metal. And as he pulls, like, you can see this gouge torn in one of the sides of the flail balls as he, like, pulls it free, and the immovable rod just sits there, unmoving. And then he finally shakes it free, and then he's going to start beating on this dragon.
That is really useful.
Yeah, right?
We got it from the dragon, didn't we?
Yeah, they ended up buying it from him. Or the salesman in the sales before.
One of them is actually going to miss.
You doing weird in there?
Yeah.
And a natural 20 on the dragon saving throw.
Yeah.
And that is it for Yinigu's turn. Philosio.
Hello. I'm going to make it all the way to Shava. And... can she use her action to rehide me by pulling the cloak back over both of us?
Sure.
Okay. So I shoot Yanaga with an arrow. And it's a 21 to hit.
No.
I didn't think so. And Shava tugs the cloak back over us, and we have a 25 to hide.
Yeah, you are some 40 feet away from the action. Sorry, you're now about 100. The action itself started, you know, you guys were here and ran forward and then came back. And then it's kind of spread out.
I got your tail.
In that way. At the end of his turn, Yinugu is going to... see. Lindell, you were right next to him, weren't you?
He swatted me away, so I'd be like 30 feet or something like that.
Did he actually land the swat away attack on you? That's a different thing.
Oh, no, that's...
He just knocked you down. Okay, so in chasing... okay, so you're still within range. So he's going to make a bite attack against both you and the dragon.
With disadvantage on mine.
Okay. That will be a 20 with disadvantage.
Still hits.
Okay, and that...
this is going to down me.
It's going to hit the dragon.
Below your table there.
I don't know if you allow this or not. As he comes down to bite, could I have taken out this yellow gem, and as he bites, it breaks the gem?
Sure.
Yeah? All right.
Yeah.
Cool. So Lindo goes down unconscious, but over Eva's body comes, I don't know what happens.
No, I got it.
Okay, yeah.
I'll just... so, yeah, you know, he reaches down and bites the dragon and takes this giant chunk of flesh out of it. Oh, that's the wrong creature bite. I was like, plus fire damage. This guy's crazy. No. So you will take 29 points of piercing damage from that bite. All
right.
And go down. But as coming away from the bite, it's bizarre that Yinigu's mouth is just like getting filled with this like rock like substance as he just kind of is pulling back. Lindell lies in the dirt there. but yeah, go ahead and roll initiative.
What?
I roll initiative before the earth elemental. That's it. Oh, jeez. He's 7 plus. I don't have.
Where did that come from?
Yeah, it's been
he,
for a while.
The
where did you get that?
Kroninos gave it to you.
Yeah. So that'd be a 6 total for the initiative.
Yeah, you guys have always had that.
It's like a one-time use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This would be the time.
Yeah. Rock elemental in his mouth.
That's funny. That is the end of your turn.
I got this.
Wait, sorry. Did we do you? As far as your turn?
My turn, I think, would have been next.
Would have been next, and
yeah.
He bit you and downed you.
Yeah. So I'll make it.
Yes. So, death save from you. The dragon is tail attacking him.
All right, fail, everybody's blessed down as well.
Womp.
And the tail attack snaps short. And then it is the dragon's turn again, trying to get back his fire, and he does. He's gonna go up and like just from the ground there, and this massive just plume of fire envelops Yinigu. He doesn't know that this earth elemental is in this thing's mouth, so it will also take right. damage there. But do you want to play as the earth elemental?
Yeah, I can run it.
Okay. I'll give it to you real quick. Oh, do you have it?
Yeah, I got it.
Earth elementals do not have resistance to fire.
I got my Pokemon rules.
That's funny.
It's immune to being exhausted, paralyzed, petrified, poisoned, or
unconscious.
He's gonna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's always alive.
Yeah. Plus, I got a plus 5 con, plus 5 strength.
Dude.
He takes 63 points of
no.
damage.
Dang, that's happened since
which instantly bloodies him.
Yep.
To exactly 63 points.
It can't go down, but it can.
It can just die. It essentially gets evaporated.
Yeah.
Is how I'd interpret that.
No, I would interpret that as it goes down to 1 hit point and nothing else happens.
There you go.
Just can't.
Going.
Yinigu is going to try and swat away the red dragon at the end of its turn. That's going to hit. And dragon attempts the saving throw. Ooh, he might do it. Just barely, but he does take the hit. Ballast.
You gotta run up the rest of the way and.
You
yeah.
like undeploy. Your sword's gone at this point.
Oh, it is.
It's back there somewhere. Like, it's, there's some chaos.
I'll start wrestling you.
You could.
Unless there's something else he's got up his sleeve somewhere.
Yeah. You hear Lindell say, or not Lindell, you hear Lealaman say, just extend your hands and flex two of your two outside fingers. You do that, and on the inside of your mech's arm, like this circle lights up, and you can see this like small spell scroll kind of stored inside there, like there's a glyph upon it, and these two lines run up your shoulders, or run up to your shoulder, and you see this one start to glow, and then this one start to glow, and then like it just blinds you for a second, and from outside, like this burst of energy is released from both the shoulders of this mech that you're in, and this column of fire swirls above Yinigu. You know, like remember how Henry used to have that. He would call down a little bit of flame, and you can do it too.
Yeah.
Sacred flame.
Yeah.
It's essentially sacred flame times 4.
Yeah.
Is what this thing looks like, and there's a lot more flame to it. And so there's just roll 8d6, 46 fire and 46 radiant.
Okay, this will be fire. This will be radiant. So that's 10 fire.
Dang.
and
4d6.
What's
each.
It? 4 each?
So you need
oh,
two more.
Yeah. 1 point. Thank you. Okay, so that ends up being 16 radiant and 14 fire.
Nice. Very nice. That's cool.
Cool.
All right, that was the end of Ballast's turn.
I think so.
That is the fifth level evocation spell, Flame Strike.
Ah, oh, that's so cool. The Rockmaster got a 6 on his initiative. I forgot that.
Yes, he is right up after Sariel. And let me double check on.
Yes, we want this.
I do unfortunately need to wrap up one convenient.
Oh shoot! Super sorry. Yeah, we should cut this short.
Everyone dies. Let's just
we can leave it on a cliffhanger right now.
I kind of wanna.
Okay,
yep.
Let's do it. I did not at all notice the time. The last time I looked was 30 minutes ago. Cool. So yeah, this giant column of fire comes down from the sky and hits Inigo in the face.
Freeze frame.
One last session.
We said that from the rock monster's perspective.
Oh dang! The rock monster gets two.
Oh
shoot!
Oh, I swear, this rock monster dies. How much was it again?
Like you roll your dexterity 16. Saving throw first.
Oh shoot!
Yinigu certainly failed it.
Dex is -1, so 12.
Okay. Let's see. It's kind of a. What's your wisdom modifier?
Plus 2 for me.
12 is the DC then.
Okay.
Sorry.
So
10 is the no plus your. You're at a +3 or +4 right now.
+4.
It doesn't matter. Even with a +4, you'd be fine.
Okay.
The 12 would. 12 would
right.
So you take half damage.
Half of what was it again? 30.
Like 30.
Yeah, just take 15 points of damage.
Is he still there?
Yeah, he's still there.
Goodness snakes.